scratch about. You gotta put it in perspective.
I have these notes, but I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool! Pretty damn cool!
Woo! If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Nothing gets in our way. Boom! Keep coming. Hardcore. The hardcore Clippers. That's us. We're going to get better every day. We're going to be tenacious. Something knocks us down. We're going to get back up. And we're going to keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. Boom! Boom! Boom!
And now.
But most of all, I'm pumped. Come on! Come on! Come on! Get up! Come on, get up! If you're psyched as I am, get up!
Our feature presentation.
Is that Steve Ballmer?
He was happy.
Or Chris Farley.
Or whom, Kevin?
Chris Farley is what I was going to say, because he plays that character where it's so far over the top.
I thought about you, Jensen, when that press conference was going on. I was wondering how you felt about seeing your dad up there being so happy.
It was rough. I don't think that either Kawhi or Paul George were excited about that kind of enthusiasm.
They were mortified.
Yeah.
They could not believe how they were so embarrassed,
yeah,
weren't they?
Yeah, they weren't thrilled on it. But listen, hey, man, he's passionate.
Yeah,
he rather have that
is.
Than a guy yelling racial epithets, which is what we had for a decade or two. So.
Those are your only two choices?
Yeah, you can only have those two options.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That's very exciting. Hey, let's use the... hi, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
Let's use the power of being on the radio and have somebody call and tell us what's going on with all the police cars.
Yeah,
that was weird.
Describe where and what you guys saw.
Coming south on the 101 toward the 405 and then eventually Hollywood, I saw, and this was after Jensen, I saw, I think there were four vehicles. There was one that was a fire truck. There was one that was a fire chief looking car. There was an ambulance. And I was like, this is a lot going someplace first thing in the morning. Jensen saw a lot more.
I saw like 30.
Yeah, because four is not unusual even
it is.
To respond to like an accident.
Yeah,
or
I guess, yeah.
But
yeah.
30, now we're talking about a situation.
Yeah, I saw like totally, and also they like weren't traditional chase kind of cars. Like they felt like one was kind of a large bus feel to it.
A large bus?
Yeah, very odd. It was just, that's what caught my attention originally, was like, these aren't cars I normally
They're
see.
Not regular ones?
On the freeway, yeah.
I wonder if you were supposed to see that.
I wonder if it was aliens.
That's what I'm saying.
Ooh, someone called Tom DeLonge.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if somebody out there knows, if we have a KNX traffic tipster who wants to give us a call, 1-800-520-1067, if you know what that that massive show of force was.
It's a little freaky this time in the morning.
Yeah.
Please call now.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Betty. It was Betty White, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of cars.
1-800-520-1067. I love you.
Still very distressed over my Uber rating. I don't know that I'm ever going to get over it.
I mean, really, you should by
we
now.
Heard from a listener yesterday who has a 4.79. I have a 4.77, which is the lowest of anyone I know. He has a 4.79, and he has vomited in the back of the
Oh, no.
And he has a higher rating than I do, who has been nothing but courteous and polite and on time, and I don't eat, and I don't vape, and I don't do any of those things.
Right.
All right, hang on. I'm just getting information from old man Ruben here.
I just want to talk to the Uber drivers that you have gone with, and I would like to get their version of
I would love to.
You as a passenger.
We now know that there's such thing as notes.
Yes.
So if any driver was able to find out, we would love to know what Bean's problem is, why he's such a garbage person.
The note would say, wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. What the ass?
Why does he keep asking to hear that?
I do insist that all drivers play it when I get in the car, if that's what you're asking.
Are you a chatty Cathy?
Yes, I'm very friendly.
It's what it is.
As you know.
It's what it is.
It's word vomit.
It's word vomit.
Great,
Chip.
What do you mean? I'm very pleasant. Look, I don't treat my driver like staff.
No one
like
says
you guys
that.
Do.
Yeah, like we do. No one says that, but what you don't understand is your driver is not interested in what you're saying.
But when somebody gets in the back of that car with their headphones on, they're basically saying, hey, other human being 2 feet away from me, you're not worth me paying attention to.
No,
you're
maybe
not
they just want to listen to music. Here's what I do. I get in the back. Mm-hmm. And by the way, 4.88, suck it, Bean. Mm-hmm. I get in the back and I show him my headphones. I go, is it cool if I listen to my headphones? Just, you know, get my attention or whatever. And he's like, yeah, go ahead. No problem.
Because your driver's subhuman to you.
Done.
Right? They're not worth your time.
No, he's perfectly nice.
Well, clearly someone has the right idea between you two, and it's not Bean, whose rating is subpar into the vomit category.
Here's the update Ruben has provided from the Los Angeles Central Fire Department.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, downtown L.A., 40 firefighters extinguished a fire in a one-story commercial building in 40 minutes.
Okay, but that wasn't downtown L.A.
It would be the other way.
Ooh, so this isn't it.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be more towards the valley, you were saying.
Yeah.
Okay. In the valley heading north.
Yeah. All right.
The growth of this fire was initially...
Thousand Oaks.
Yes.
Possibly Camarillo.
Both of those places
Maybe
are
Oxnard.
North. Yes.
Oh, stay safe, San Luis Obispo.
So 1-800-520-1069 if you know. That fire is downtown, so that's not near the 101.
Call now!
Okay.
Call now.
All right, here's my
He's
Uber...
He's lost on will to live.
Yes.
Somebody call my mama.
Okay. Here's the Uber story that I want to do just real quick, which has made me thinking about my own poor Uber rating. This is sisters who are named Carrie Maggard and Deb Eggers. They were stuck at the airport in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, over the weekend on Saturday night because they had missed their connection to Sioux Falls, South Dakota because there was a storm, so they didn't make the second leg of their trip. It says in this article, all the later flights were sold out, which makes sense because how many flights are going to Sioux Falls? But it also says they couldn't get a rental car, which surprises me.
Oh, no. Happens what? A lot in Hallmark movies. That there's
I'm
only
sorry.
There's only one rental car because of storms, and people are like, "Oh no, what are we going to do?"
They only have one rental car, just a single car,
and then they wind up saying, "Let's share the ride," and then they get to know each other. Then they save Christmas,
and they fall in love.
Yes,
it struck me as weird that at an airport the size of the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport that there was no rental car available. But we're going to go with it because that's what CNN says in this story. And even though they're fake news, this is a cute story. So they just pray that they can figure out some way to get to their aunt's 100th birthday party in Sioux Falls. So they call an Uber. So an Uber driver shows up. It's 200 miles to Sioux Falls from Minneapolis, by the way. Mm-hmm. An Uber driver shows up, and his name is Jesus Florentino. Ladies and gentlemen, talk about your prayers being answered. A driver named Jesus shows up.
Probably
one of the
probably
ladies.
Jesus, but, okay, go ahead.
In Minnesota, though, in the last name
okay,
of Florentine, I don't know.
Okay.
One of the...
right?
One of the ladies in the party says, I was shocked that anyone picked us up. It was kind of a last resort to see if anyone could consider us. We were picked up immediately, and of course, I got a message on my phone that said, Jesus is 7 minutes away. She said, the driver said he couldn't see the destination when he accepted the ride, but the woman double-checked with him to make sure he was willing to drive so far. He said, I feel that they need to be attending the birthday, and I enjoy driving, so yeah, it worked out well. It was an important occasion for them, and if I was in their place, I would appreciate very much somebody taking me there when there was no other way. He was so sweet without hesitation, said Maggie, and it took 4 hours to get there. They reached their destination around 6 o'clock. Party went on. He turned around and drove back to Minnesota.
I think if Jesus was here, he'd be driving an Uber.
I think he'd be Lyft.
Lyft, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because...
Because
he was lifted.
Lifting you up.
Ah. Yeah.
Well, that would be one way to kind of
see. We lift our hearts.
See what humans are like is to drive Uber. You get a cross-section of a bunch of people.
How do they not see your destination before they pick you up? That always happens.
No, you don't see before. It's only when you accept
only
it
when
they get
put
in the car.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you put the address in the app. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just say, because a lot of
it
times.
It always says where to, and I just put the address.
Oh, sometimes I don't, because you know what? Maybe if it's not far enough for them, they wouldn't
they don't
take
pick you
it.
Up.
But that's
oh,
why
interesting.
I think they don't tell them because of that.
Interesting.
I think until they press accept when you're in the car with them, then they see the destination.
I did not know,
because,
that.
Know that.
Because if they knew the destination ahead of time, they wouldn't pick up small drives, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, in case you're wondering, the Uber trip cost $216.30.
Kind of a deal.
Absolutely.
It doesn't seem bad at all.
No.
Yeah. And she tipped him, the ladies tipped him $54.07. I'm not sure why. And also gave him a 5-star rating. So there you go. That's a very sweet Uber story.
And that sucks, though, because for you, Jesus wouldn't even have picked you up, right?
Exactly. I would leave
you're
living
rating.
In the Minnesota airport.
He'd drive by and go... Right.
I just like Uber to know, I'm giving them a lot of great free press right now.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking very highly of the company, and I think that might be worth bumping me up a little bit in the ratings.
When I was at Coachella and I got T-boned in that accident,
yes.
I Ubered back from Coachella.
Ooh, what was that
Picked
bill?
Me up pretty quickly.
What was that cost?
It was about $350.
Ooh. Wow.
Mm.
Good times.
Worth
then
it.
Then you also had to pick up people. It was a pool Uber.
Yeah, yeah. Very frustrating.
It was so long.
17 stops we made.
Wow.
Oh, and they weren't ready. Come on. Sorry, back to you, B.
No, back to you, Kevin.
Okay.
Hey, oh,
let's talk about today's Kevin and B show, shall we?
I'm pumped.
Dr. Drew is going to be on the show today.
Yeah.
And we found out yesterday that our own beer mug... I mean, he may be a doctor for all I know.
I think he might be after yesterday.
Yesterday, he started spouting all kinds of wisdom, mm-hmm. in air quotes, and stuff that he believes is true.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a doctor off.
Yeah.
Dr. Nice Drew to... and Dr. Muggs.
And it wasn't like, he didn't just say like, oh, take a, you know, the sty of a fly and rub it on your eye. And, you know, like he didn't say like weird stuff.
No,
he said things that possibly mm-hmm. could be true.
Correct.
Yeah. But I don't think are.
I like the fact that after the meeting, we actually all yelled at Muggs, don't study tonight.
Because we said we were going to talk about it today. We had another employee that we're not going to announce his name, Lightning, who used to then go home and like, bone up on everything, and then he would come in and change his story.
Oh, come on.
Right?
Awful.
So that's not a good thing. So we didn't want that to happen. You caused a public panic. Apparently this happens more than we know, including with Allie.
Oh, come on. Just once.
Get up on this with Jensen.
I'm in.
We didn't get to this yesterday, but 25% of food delivery people taste the food. Actually, eat the food on the way over.
I'm happy we didn't get to it, and hopefully it'll be pushed
We're
again
get
today.
To it today.
Yeah,
no,
let's
push it.
Can't wait. Plus,
push
comedian
it.
Jay
okay.
Moore will join us as well in studio. Love that. And we've got your tickets for...
Kevin.
Hold.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm. It's going good.
Hold.
Yep.
Yep.
Keep it up.
Play it.
Keep going. Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
Chip,
what
don't
happened?
Go. Don't go,
no,
Chip.
I really want to.
Hold up.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Woohoo!
Worth it.
I get it.
No one's listening.
Allie, right? We don't go on the air until 6. We're good.
Save us from this, Allie.
Save us. That was entertaining.
Was it?
We often talk about memorabilia and how none of us are really collectors of anything like that. You have DVDs, you have
Blu-rays.
You're
unopened.
A sneakerhead.
I'm a shoehead, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you don't really go for anything like that a star used in a movie or an athlete used in a, you know, pivotal game. So we are not the people that quite understand the whole memorabilia thing. And this one I really don't get, but late rapper Tupac Shakur recently made the record books because his old prison ID card sold for $30,000 to an unidentified collector who wishes to remain anonymous. Well, so would I, sir, because you're throwing away $30,000 on an
prison ID
card.
Was it that guy that got fired for sending Tupac lyrics everywhere?
Public official in Iowa. I thought of him immediately.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, he's like, you know what? I just cashed out my 401k.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I spent
on. Got some
it
free
on.
Time to look at memorabilia all day.
Wouldn't that be amazing and sad? What?
Look, if you've got the money... And you're a huge fan.
Right, we're not. Yeah, sure.
Might feel cool to have.
I mean, his prison ID isn't necessarily the most optimistic part of Tupac's career.
Yeah, no.
It's not the platinum record or, you know.
Our friend Rodney Bigenheimer has Elvis Presley's driver's license.
Really?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's got to be an expensive piece.
Yeah, that's a nice item of memorabilia there.
What was his age on it? Do you know?
Well, I mean, let's see. He probably in his 30s, I would imagine.
Oh, so hot Elvis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that make a difference to you?
I mean...
You don't want fat Elvis? You
don't
want
like, bloated, sweaty Elvis on there?
I mean, but, I feel like if you're an Elvis fan, you would probably take any driver's license from
I'd probably
him.
Take, like, early in the Navy? Army? Air Force. Marine.
Army.
When he was in the Army. I would take one. Like, he just looked so handsome back then.
Okay. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
It would. It would. Thank you so much, sir. You guys, remember all those stories about Constance Wu? and her being a real diva and her tweeting those things when her show Fresh Off the Boat was renewed, and she was like, and then was like, I didn't mean it about the renewal. And people were like, no, you're awful.
Yeah, it would have been a frosty day when she went back to work on the set of that show. I'll tell you that. Oh. Everyone else was pretty excited to have work.
Yeah, especially, you know, not only the people on camera, but, you know, the hundreds of crew. Mm-hmm. Pretty stoked to have a job.
Yep.
Would you believe that she is demanding top billing in a movie that also stars J-Lo and Cardi B?
Yes, I would.
I think I would too now. Before
still
I'd be
shocking,
like,
though.
Before I'd be like, come on. Yeah, here's the thing. The movie Hustlers that they are all starring in, members of her team are demanding that media outlets name Wu first in articles, despite, you know, J-Lo having a much bigger name. And let's be honest, Cardi B has a higher profile.
Yeah, especially being in, I think this is her first movie.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
If you've seen the trailer, Jennifer Lopez looks like the star of the movie. She is the ringleader of the women.
Right.
She's the one who kind of organizes their crime spree. It looks like it's her film. She should be first.
Even if it wasn't her film. If she was like a secondary third character, you would still say J-Lo's in this.
Yeah, yeah, true.
And then you'd
bigger
name
star,
the other
yes.
people. It's just, wow. What is happening?
Yeah.
Lady, stop it. Speaking of J-Lo.
An incredible bit.
Oh, well, I don't know her personally, but all signs are pointing to her being a bit full of herself. J-Lo's birthday yesterday. I can't imagine what it would be like if you've got the money J-Lo has and the money A-Rod has. They've been dating for a while now. Like, how do you come up with a birthday gift that's not, like, super over the top, you just look crazy doing it, or something really personal and sweet? It's got to be kind of hard. Trust me, it's a problem I would love to have.
Sure, nice problem.
Not be sure, you know, what I should get that's extravagant or not, but she wound up with a giant yellow ribbon on the hood of a brand spanking new bright red Porsche yesterday, given to her by A-Rod. So that's kind of nice.
Then she goes, I bought one last week. I'll just have to return it.
Right. She's like, this is so
very difficult.
Cute.
Another one?
I only have the black one, so I'm stoked to have the red one now.
Who's going to drive this, though? Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm going to be in the back, like, chilling.
I have to now get a driver.
It's just
another driver.
It's just a lot, you guys. It's a lot.
I think she's unstable, to tell you the truth.
Oh, I don't think that's true. But
Mom.
You never know.
I hate to say this, but mm-hmm. it really is an embarrassment to all women.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. That seems harsh.
I think she seems pretty good for women.
I don't want to slut shame her.
Oh, okay.
But it's very apparent that she's a definite tease.
Why? Wow. I mean, she isn't.
She might be reading into this.
Yeah,
she's dating that guy.
Dating A-Rod for years.
Thank you for your opinion.
Oh. Probably getting married, you guys.
Your mom's got a lot of harsh. Posh,
yeah, she's rough.
She's really rough.
Hates J-Lo.
You guys, when we come back, we're going to talk about things like zombie eaters.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of us might be zombie eaters.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I would know. But...
You feel like you would.
Oh.
But I guarantee you, Bean, you're a zombie eater.
Oh. You guarantee Bean is?
I guarantee I am.
Okay.
But I also guarantee... You are?
Okay.
Kevin. Jensen's definitely a zombie eater.
So all of us are.
Yeah, we're zombie eaters.
How about Chip?
Chip's a zombie eater.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. I'll explain what that means.
Please. I hope you do.
What if I don't? What if I just
don't
die?
Ever mention it again.
Okay. Some birthdays for you. Rapper Mac Lethal from Friends and Episodes and all sorts of other shows. Matt LeBlanc. Right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. We were on a break. Not him. Finn Balor. He's a wrestler. Which is why I was super excited that it was also Hulk's birthday.
Oh.
But he's a soccer player? Hulk?
Well, how do I take that back? I did the Cena thing for him.
Hulk. I don't know who you're
Hulk
talking about.
Yeah,
I
think soccer player.
I think he's a Brazilian soccer player.
I mean, who cares?
I would assume you could leave that one off the list.
I'm going to leave that one off.
And if we were in Brazil, we should mention it.
Right.
Yeah. Other than that, no.
And Thurston Moore, it says, not a wrestler, guitarist and singer for Sonic Youth, but he was the one on the island, right? Millionaire and his
that
wife. It's like
Thurston.
None of these make sense, and that's what's happening.
Oh. Gilligan's Island.
Man, start over.
Well, do not tell me people are putting their fingers in my food.
A total nightmare.
Before they bring it to my house.
I don't, we can skip it.
Yeah.
Right?
Breaking news? There's got to be breaking news.
I'll look.
You guys have been
we can talk about Puerto Rico? There's a big thing sure. going on there.
Oh, Reading Rainbow just tweeted Lil Nas X and said we'd be down for a remix.
That's awesome. Right. Story.
Take a look. Okay. It's in a book.
Guys, Old Town Road.
I got to tell you about this. No. I'm sorry.
What?
First of all, here's a story out of a Chicago suburb yesterday, just to kind of get us into the topic. A Jimmy John's delivery driver was caught on camera apparently putting his mouth on a customer's drink before delivering an order in Northwest Chicago.
Putting on his drink on his straw?
Yeah.
So Mueller, they had a hearing yesterday. Right. Did you guys hear about this?
Let me tell you about this. Homeowner Emily Brem said video from her Ring doorbell captured the incident just seconds before her order was handed off. Video showed the worker carrying a box and holding a drink as the delivery driver stands at the Brem's front door. He appears to put his face to the cup. My son came upstairs and said, just so you know, the delivery guy licked your drink. Adding that the family did not eat the food and immediately contacted the store. Now, do you think this was a deal where, you know how sometimes when you've got a straw in your drink that some of it kind of spills out onto the top of the lid, and he was just trying to make the lid look tidier?
The overage suck.
Yeah. He didn't put his mouth on the straw. He licked the top of the lid to try to make it look neater before the delivery, maybe?
You're giving him a lot of credit.
I'm just asking. Do you think that's likely what happened?
No. Even a little bit. He was thirsty. There was a straw. He took a sip.
Okay. The survey has been done by Us Foods. They interviewed people who use delivery apps, food delivery apps. And by the way, lots of people using food delivery apps.
Agreed.
Yeah,
agreed.
Uber Eats is the most popular, in case you're wondering. Followed by Grubhub, then DoorDash, and in fourth place, Allie, your favorite Postmates.
Wow, that's got to be regional.
No way.
That has to be regional.
Yeah, here in L.A., it's pretty popular, but that maybe not across the U.S.
But tell me that this story doesn't cross all of those companies. Tell me that the
it
one...
does. This is all those countries. The number one complaint of people who use restaurant apps is
takes too long.
The food is not warm.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Number one. Number two is it takes too long. Mm-hmm. Number three is an incorrect order. Of deliveries, by the way, the number one complaint is a weak tip or no tip, then food not ready on time at the restaurant. And number three, unclear instructions from customer in app. In other words, there's not enough specifics about how they want their food. That's the complaints. Because they surveyed...
They want it non-touched.
We asked, if you ordered a burger and fries and the deliverer grabbed a few fries along the way, how upset would you be on a scale of 1 being no big deal, 10 being absolutely unacceptable? What do you suppose the public responded to that question?
I don't know what the public said, but my answer is 10.
Yeah.
Beyond 10.
I would guess 10, too.
8.4 was the average answer.
Some of them are like, you know, he's hungry.
I mean, there's some stragglers.
Give him a fry or two.
Couple of fries.
I'm good.
Customers, have you ever suspected a deliverer of taking food? 21% said yes. They have suspected it.
I've never even thought about it.
Yeah, if you asked me that same question, I would say
it's never even...
It's never entered my mind.
Deliverers, have you ever taken food from an order?
Do not tell us this.
Skip guys, the Dodgers lost by one run last night. It was a close game.
Freeway series.
Deliverers, have you ever taken food from an order? 28% said yes. 28% said yes. And by the way, that's 28% that admitted it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because this is the kind of behavior that you might think, I shouldn't say something. Who knows who it's going to get back to? Who knows who's really doing the survey? I don't want to get fired.
Don't tell anybody.
So that means, Allie, in the last four Postmates, deliveries, at least one of them, they snacked.
I don't believe that because I get things that are packaged up. There's not like a, it's not like a fry
they can open
situation.
The package.
Yeah, but it's not things that you would.
28%. They've opened the package.
No way.
By the way, adjacent to that, customers, would you like restaurants to use tamper-evident labels to address this issue? 85% said yes. I think we would all feel better if it came kind of taped down.
Yeah, but I don't feel like we should have to do that. You know what I mean? That's going to end up costing a little bit of money for us, I assume.
No, I mean just like a sticker, man. Like just
sticker. Sugarfish does that.
Yeah,
they use a sticker right on it. Plus, you can always count the number of rolls. You'll know if one's gone.
Yeah, that's a tough one to steal from.
There are certain kinds of food that it's tough to steal from, like pizza.
You did bring that up yesterday. Yeah, I mean, you're like, maybe you like fries you can, but I think a pizza you could probably tell.
It'd be difficult if a slice was missing is what I'm saying to get it past
customs. But somebody could just put their fingers all over it and pull off like mushrooms or chicken.
Oh,
or...
no, I didn't even think that.
Into our heads.
Didn't even think that.
And somebody could actually lick the whole pizza before they get it.
Oh, my gosh.
Other complaints, by the way. 34% have had a food delivery person who stayed in the car and passed food through the window, which I guess would be okay if you went out your driveway and met them there, I guess.
That could work in like an apartment complex, too.
Yeah.
I guess so.
I don't know that that's necessarily bad. 29% have had a deliverer refuse to bring food all the way to the door.
I had that.
What does that mean?
Well, how does that work, Allie?
The guy said, I'm outside. And I said, oh, did you ring the doorbell? And he said, no, I'm in my car. And I said, let me know when you're at the door. And he goes, no, come to the car. And I said, you want me to come outside, then walk to your car? And he wrote, yeah, that's how this works. And I said, it doesn't cancel the order.
Nice.
And then I contacted Postmates, we'll say it was them. And they're like, that is unacceptable. That should never happen. And I said, yeah, what's happening in that car that he's making women walk out to his car? Something's very wrong with that, man.
Yeah, but now all your pizza gets licked.
Right?
Oh, no.
It's probably in the
now
notes.
Now that you've complained.
I have a very good relationship with Postmates.
Wait till you see your rating and you're a 4.77.
Yeah. At 4.
By the way, that poor delivery guy, God bless him, he's in a wheelchair, yet he was able to find one job that would hire him.
Lost both of his legs in the war.
No,
yep.
he wound up being a real issue, that dude. But everything's fine now.
He's a goddamn war hero, and it wouldn't have killed you. It wouldn't have killed you to get out of your pajamas and walk 20 feet to get the food.
Wow.
17% have had a deliverer drop food outside and leave. Leave it on the front porch and go. Like, they don't even tell you that it's there? Is that possible?
I've never heard of that.
No, maybe they waited so long at the door and you didn't come.
Maybe.
That they
and
just
I would
left
think
it?
You wouldn't want to do that because you'd be hoping for a little cash, right? Do you tip
maybe they don't get tipped enough.
The app or in with cash? You do through the app.
You're not supposed to do it in cash. That's what I was told.
Well, 63% say they tip through the app. 27% say cash.
I wouldn't trust Postmates or Uber Eats or anyone with a tip. If I'm going to tip somebody, I think I would rather give them cash.
Big story just came out this week in the New York Times, and I don't remember which. I think it was DoorDash. Mm-hmm. They talked to delivery people, and they had somebody pose as a delivery person and found out all sorts of bad issues about tips, that they weren't getting them entirely, if at all.
Wow.
That was just this week. So,
if you tip through the app, in other words, the driver may not see it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So then those drivers were saying, we'd appreciate it if you gave us cash, because then we know we get it.
Why did you say no cash, Jensen?
I've been told not to.
Oh, just told not to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never. It's just easier on the app. That's what you do. Then you click 20%. I will say this, all the time, people that deliver to me say, thank you so much for that tip.
That's probably good because they don't have to report it.
And it's so sad because they say, oh no, you have no idea how many people don't tip
most
at all.
People wouldn't. It's just so sad.
I've never not tipped. I just
use
the app. Yeah. Well, now I won't.
Because you don't want that delivery person to get it. You want the company to get it. That's why you do it.
I believe in corporations over the worker. So
the takeaway here, though, as we wind down, is that one out of four deliveries that
No. That wasn't the focus. The focus somebody is tipping cash. Tipping cash, because no one's licking our pizzas.
Touched or licked or or made their own delivery
on
your food.
No. That doesn't happen, and I'm happy to completely live oblivious and naive.
Hey!
Nope.
Nope.
What?
A little early.
Huh. Felt good.
Good morning.
Ellen McKay, ahead of Jensen's Get Up on This just after the top of the hour. Tell us what's happening, please, on this Thursday.
What's going on?
After that story about the 25% of...
28%.
Okay.
If you don't mind my correction.
Oh, God. you know, touching your food, eating it, taking a sip.
Uh-huh. That's best case scenario.
Yeah. Starbucks can now be delivered via Uber Eats.
So if you want to do that. People licking the top.
I'm so tired. I just need a sip. And then they give it to you.
Yeah. Oh, they won't notice. It's just one sip.
Correct.
Right. I'm just gonna lick the foam off the top. That's all.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't know if they go for licking, but I hope not.
That's not foam.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I often have thought, okay, if you get a McDonald's delivered via app, you're lazy, probably very hungover. That's an issue. If you're getting coffee delivered off an app, there's a Starbucks literally. Look outside your house right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
You can see one.
But some people do it for like their workplace, so they bring a bunch at one time.
That does make sense.
But I like my Starbucks coffee is I like the vanilla brewed.
Mm-hmm. Plus that guy.
Same.
He wants it delivered. All right, you changed my mind.
Okay.
Let's order some Starbucks via Uber Eats right now.
Full order.
Guys, Seth MacFarlane just made a young fan's dreams come true, and the kid's whole family joined in on the Hollywood adventure. Thanks to Seth and the Kids Wish Network, a young boy named Chance Yon, who has cerebral palsy, got to spend the day with his hero at the animation studios of Family Guy in L.A.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Here's it is. TMZ says that Chance and his family were flown out Tuesday, greeted with balloons, welcome signs, and Seth MacFarlane himself. They had lunch, and then Seth drew and signed sketches for Chance, and even voiced some of his favorite characters for him. Got Mila Kunis and Seth Green on the phone to talk to him. That's not all. He then got to preview a future episode, spend time with the directors, writers, animators, who then transformed Chance into his own character to join the Griffins.
Wow.
I love it!
And then him and his mom got to voice Chris and Lois for a special video clip just for him, which
that's
is just
unbelievable.
Incredible.
Wow. It's almost worth, like, the disease.
No, I don't think that's
to
the case.
God, nope. Jensen.
Nope.
And then to top it all off, Seth MacFarlane found out that it was his first time flying, and it was a bit overwhelming for Chance and the family flying out there. So he's like, let me make it a little easier. Booked him on his private jet for the trip back home. Seth MacFarlane.
What does this kid have on Seth MacFarlane? I'm sorry, this is a Me Too payout if it's anything.
It is not.
Yeah,
someone being nice.
Just accept someone being nice.
It is lovely.
This is beyond being nice.
Someone is being really kind.
The kid doesn't even have cancer. He's got cerebral palsy, for God's sakes. How is Seth doing this much for him?
It's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff. I'm saying, you guys, something's going on here.
We hear what you're saying.
I'm saying
we're rejecting
Seth MacFarlane is just lovely.
He's a great guy. I'm not saying he's not.
Knew that this would change so much for this kid and how wonderful for him and his whole family.
That's amazing.
That is
lovely. Spread the wealth, though. This kid got everything, you know?
Yeah, there's a payoff.
There's other sickos.
There are other sick people.
And by the way, let's not call them sickos.
Come on.
What's happening?
Kevin, we are surrounded by dicks.
What's happening? I think this is a beautiful story with Seth.
Okay, but here's what I'm saying, and I think Jensen would agree with me, is that one sick kid gets to voice a character. Another sick kid gets to be drawn in. Another sick kid gets to have the plane ride. Another sick kid gets to get the tour of the anime studio. You don't blow it all on the one kid, is what I'm saying. Spread it around a little
Seth
bit.
Seth MacFarlane be kind to who he wants to.
I also have a concern that Family Guy eventually will just be all sick kids voicing it.
Why are you the worst person in the
both
world?
The worst. This is a beautiful story.
Just like hundreds of new characters, all just sick kids.
I mean, if you want Seth Green and Mila Kunis to lose their job, that's fine. You could be that. I'm not that.
That's going to be quite something to check out.
I agree.
I mean, this is a great story.
Yes, it was a great
story. Yeah, the part you told was great. What about the dark underbelly of that story?
It's a great story until Bean got a hold of it and Jensen got a hold of it.
Well, the results, it's more like a domino effect. Mm-hmm.
Let's see how Bean can turn this story around.
Okay.
Because it involves his favorite thing, 7-Eleven.
Oh.
After an infant was born on July 11th,
7-Eleven. Love this kid.
At 7-Eleven p.m., weighing 7 pounds and 11 ounces.
Take it easy.
7-Eleven pledged $7,111 towards a college fund for her. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah,
it's probably
fantastic.
Some kind of Me Too payoff,
right? Mm-hmm. They knew they'd be given that kid's diabetes from their Slurpees someday soon, so they gave him that money.
I thought this was a cool story. I
mean,
they sent a bunch of
MacFarlane, not a cool story.
They sent a bunch of swag and stuff. They really went above and beyond the Call of Duty.
Packets?
No. They sent a little 7-Eleven onesie and stuff, but to do the college fund, I thought was
Bean
very cool.
Knows every detail about this story.
Sure does.
This was a big story.
Oh my God! Really?
Yes.
On your 7-Eleven fan site that you would, are a 7-Eleven chat room?
Yeah, we're in the chat room. God, I would love it if my birthday were 7-Eleven. That'd be so cool.
Honestly, we were hoping Adler's birthday was 7-Eleven because it was supposed to be around there. Mm-hmm. And then we would always know Free Slurpee Day's his birthday.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Be very cool. Kid's name was Jamie with an apostrophe, though,
no
which
one,
I don't like.
What is happening? Bean doesn't approve of the kid's name.
Here's the thing. If you're a kid with cancer at this point, you're like, is Seth MacFarlane sending a plane? It just sets a precedence that wants to live
it's
up to.
It's a very incredibly nice and reassuring story that people still have a kind side.
Imagine now setting up a wish with Family Guy and they send a car. How mad would you be?
I mean, is it across the country? I'd be a little upset.
Yeah. I mean, or even just a commercial flight. Or just coach. Ugh.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Well, does he not know
it's
I have cancer?
It's not a good point. This is a wonderful thing. You're both awful.
It's more a long-term issue.
I hope you both go to hell.
Right?
I stand corrected. This is compelling radio.
I want you two in the ground.
Well, if we were, our family would at least get characters on Family Guy.
Wow. Listen to Bean. Listen to the joy that this is bringing me.
I want my mom to be the giggity guy. You know what I mean?
You want your mom to be that?
Yeah, like when I die and then Seth MacFarlane sends a plane.
Giggity, giggity?
Yep, have my mom do giggity.
Jensen Carpian cleared out of the way.
All right. Some birthdays for you. Mac Lethal, wrestler Finn Balor. And Matt LeBlanc, I'm sorry, Seth MacFarlane. I'm sorry anyone had to hear that last segment.
Agreed.
We'll put it on the podcast.
One of the funniest men on the planet, comedian Jay Mohr, joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, we've got more tickets for you to see 21 Pilots in Las Vegas. It's K-Rock Road Trip 2019, destination number 5, details at krock.com. Jensen, with paternity leave and vacation and everything, I feel like it's been a minute since we've had a new get up on this, but I'm very excited to hear what you're going to introduce us to today.
You should be. I feel like I've been sitting on this one for now 2 weeks. Bean is going to love it, but this is my get up on this.
Get up, get on up,
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 on this.
As you know, I believe there is too much TV. I think you should feel the same exact way. Too many options out there, so I'm here to lessen the chances of you picking something bad and instead picking what I think is the television show of the year.
Wow.
If you listen to Kevin and Bean or K-Rock at all, you will appreciate this show. It is currently on Showtime, and it is called Shangri-La.
Yay! Not heard of it.
Bean's already seen it.
I haven't seen it, but it's on my list. It's the Rick Rubin documentary series.
It is, and it is better than you could even imagine. It is a four-part documentary written and directed by Morgan Neville, who you don't recognize his name, but he is one of the best documentarians working today. He did 30 Feet from Stardom, which was so great background singers.
10 Feet from Stardom.
Is it 10 feet?
Yeah.
However far it was.
In my opinion, they should be further back. and the Smash...
Or 20. Maybe it was 20, Jensen.
Really?
I think it was 20.
Split the difference. Listen, he also did the Smash Mr. Rogers documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor, which everyone loved.
Fantastic.
So
but
this
it was
guy,
Won't You Live Adjacent.
Right.
It's different.
Won't You Be 30 Feet from My House. Well, this new project details and goes deep with super producer Rick Rubin and his storied Malibu studio recording... his recording studio. For those who don't know, while in college, Rick Rubin, alongside Russell Simmons, founded the record label Def Jam and in turn discovered acts like Run DMC, Beastie Boys, LL Cool J, and since has had an insanely eclectic career.
There's almost nobody you could mention that he hasn't worked with.
Absolutely.
Exactly, and I was thinking about this. I don't think there's a producer ever who has worked with more K-Rock artists.
Yeah,
and I don't necessarily mean like we play that song, but I don't think anyone has had their hand in albums that K-Rock plays more than Rick Rubin.
Yeah.
He's worked with Slayer, Linkin Park, Andrew Dice Clay, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Jay-Z, Eminem, System of a Down. That is that goes across every genre.
Yeah, there's no genre that he's in. Just every band wants him to help.
It's nuts.
And maybe even most famous for the resurrection of Johnny Cash's career, too.
That's right.
On top of all of that.
A lot of talk about that in the documentary. Now, Shangri-La is what he calls his Malibu property and workspace, which at one time housed Elvis, Bob Dylan, and the band. You see it in The Last Waltz. It's a storied house and kind of acreage in Malibu that involves so much musical history. It also, oddly, housed Mr. Ed during his career.
Really?
It did. But now it's ruled by Rick Rubin, who mostly walks around at bare barefoot, working with different artists. Now, I know people who've worked with Rick Rubin before, and one of the knocks on him is, what does he do for you? People are kind of confused because he's not a musician, per se.
Right.
He doesn't get in and move around. He just sits in the back, barefoot, laying down. So this is a common thing known about him,
right,
is that he lays down in the back of the studio and really just gives you vibes and helps you work. He's almost a therapist.
It feels like, from talking to other people about him, like he will take an idea and make it a crazy great idea.
Or do very little and still do a lot. So,
I remember, Jensen, in the outstanding Dixie Chicks documentary, they went through that with him because he just sits in the room and just you play and he stops you when something's good.
Yeah, and sometimes you might think he has no musical knowledge. He just sort of sits there.
Yep.
But that is his, that's his aura, and that's what the whole documentary is about. What Shangri-La means to him.
Is that on now?
It is. You can stream all of them on Showtime.
Oh, excited.
Okay, so in each episode you learn the history and the current state of Shangri-La. You also learn so much about the wildly strange Rick Rubin. He's a genius but also has like a personal Sherpa. And he's very, very odd. Loves pro wrestling. Watches it religiously every week.
Doesn't he meditate like many hours a day too?
2 hours a day. Yeah. He gets into cold ice baths every single day.
Wow.
He has a house that is just, this is Shangri-La where you record. It's all white. There's no art on the walls and no furniture or items anywhere near the studio.
He's such a weirdo genius.
It's unbelievable. It's devoid of anything so the creativity can flow through you. As you find these small details out, you follow Rubin in conversations and recording sessions with those who stop by that include Ezra Koenig of Vampire Weekend, Little Yachty, Flea, LL Cool J, Leon Bridges, SZA, Santana, David Blaine, Tyler the Creator, David Lynch, Mike D, McConan, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, the late Mac
That's
Miller.
Crazy.
It is a Gerard Carmichael, entrepreneur stop by. It is the weirdest but best show of the year. Rubin also has an on-site library of his entire life. It's chronicling everything he does from the history of meditation and yoga to letters between him and Johnny Cash as to what songs they would cover.
Wow.
And it's run by the USC Annenberg Library people.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
Throughout the documentary, you see some very cool recreations of Rick's life through actors and puppets. You even get in...
I'm sorry, did you say puppets?
That is true.
You said there's
puppets. Puppets.
And animation. There's an interview with his NYU college roommate that tells you about what it was like living in the dorm that Def Jam was created from. The kid who plays Rick as a child is bald and has a fake long beard.
I love this so much.
It made me laugh every time. Another amazing scene is when Ezra from Vampire Weekend, who worked with Rick on the new album that we love so much, worried that one of his new songs sounded too much like that Smash Mouth song about Shrek. You hear about Flea's heroin addiction, how he started playing bass. You hear about Rivers Cuomo and a never-released Weezer cover of Tony Braxton's Don't Go Breaking My Heart. You get introduced to new African protege of Santana's. You hear why Rick Rubin engulfs himself in ice baths with surfer Laird Hamilton.
Yep.
His life is crazy. Let's listen to a quick clip. This is artists talking about the first music they heard. You'll hear Tyler, the Creator, LL Cool J, and Chuck D.
That's like Janae's first album, Faith and Mary J. Blige's first album, Erica's first album.
And was that your parents listening to?
That was my mom. It started off with, you know, OJ's and Teddy Pendergrass and, you know, a little We Will Rock You kind of mixed in there. My mom's is Motown, Stax, Atlantic.
And she was controlled. She was the DJ in the house.
Pretty much. Meaning you don't go outside until you finish these chores. So you're forced to listen. And it plays over and over. And don't touch that record player.
You know I'm a huge supporter of what Mac Miller did in his career.
Yep.
And you see some recording sessions between Mac and Rick Rubin in the documentary. And Rick goes through all the artists who've passed away in his career, which is insane amounts from Jam Master Jay on. He says nothing hurt him as much as Mac Miller.
Mm. I got to tell you, we've talked to him a couple of different times trying to get him on the show, and he's couldn't be a kinder, nicer, gentler soul that doesn't want to get up early. and doesn't have to.
Yeah, it makes sense. He wakes up late. I think you get that in the documentary. This is the most fun I've had while watching TV this year. 4 hours of Rick Rubin and Shangri-La information.
Shut up, take my money.
That's awesome.
You will love it. I couldn't recommend it more. All the episodes can be streamed to watch at Showtime currently. It is called Shangri-La from Morgan Neville and Rick Rubin, and that is this week's Get Up On This.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
Get up,
get on up,
on this.
Get
How on earth did we start thinking about this topic of you caused a public panic? Where did this come from?
Where did this come
from? Hi, guys.
Hey, Muggs.
Oh, hey, Muggs.
I don't remember where this came from, but three of the people in this room have stories.
Yeah.
About causing a public panic.
What?
Now, yeah. I assume that I'm very eager to hear your stories, guys. And, of course, we're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I assume most of these stories are going to be post-9/11, where we just all have our antenna up if we see a, you know, unattended baggage at the airport. Is that what we're talking about, that sort of thing here?
Yeah.
I would think so,
any time that you've caused a bit of a ruckus or people running, I think, are probably worth
it. It could be pull the fire alarm or who knows? It could be anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Let's have a Beer Mug start here. Now, Beer Mug, you are representing somebody who is not here, somebody else who works here at K-Rock.
Yes,
right?
I'm happy to say that I have not caused the public panic.
Oh, someone else in air quotes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, he's actually a van driver for K-Rock.
Oh, this is your friend that you're telling us about. I see.
You know, he really exists. He's a van driver for K-Rock, and it came up at one of my gigs this past weekend that he and the rest of the crew were working a show at the OC Fairground, and they were setting up their tent and all their sound to pass out all the K-Rock stuff and hang out, and they packed it all up, came back to the station, they were unloading everything, and they realized, oh no, we left our entire sound bag that has all the XLR cables, all the power strips, we left that at the venue. Let's call our contact to see if they have it. So they call the contact up. She picks up. Yeah, you guys have our bag? And she says, yeah, you have our bag. We have your bag. Actually, it's in the possession of the sheriff's department, and they had to shut down the fairgrounds for an hour because they thought it was a bomb.
What?
No.
Yeah.
Shut down the whole fairground. The whole fairground because they thought it was just an unattended bag just left in the middle of nowhere.
I think they have to assume that now.
Yeah.
And especially if you send the robot up to unzip it or something, and you see all sorts of cables and stuff in there, you know, from a distance, you don't know what that is.
Yeah, so we have a good crew here at the world famous K-Rock.
Look, that could happen to anyone, though. I mean, that's super easy just to leave a bag someplace.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there is a different reaction to it now after September 11th, for
sure. Absolutely.
Allie, you did the same thing?
Well, I didn't.
Oh, it was your friend.
My cab driver.
Okay.
I was leaving the airport and arrived at my home, and the guy took the bags out of the trunk, and I said, what about the little black bag? Where's that? And he goes, there's no little black bag. And I said, yeah, it was sitting with all my bags. Like, I thought he would put everything in the trunk.
Sure.
So I was already in the car by that time. I've learned that lesson.
Don't do that.
Watch them put everything in.
Sure.
Because the bag wasn't there. So I didn't know what to do. Googled all the things. Wound up calling the one number at the airport. And they're like, oh, if you left that unattended, like on the sidewalk, oh, there's no telling. And then I got a call back a little later. And they're like, oh, no, we had to completely check out the bag. We moved everyone away from that area. It was a not a great situation, apparently.
No.
My little train case. I'm like, it's your shampoo.
It's really sad that this happens every time you just forget a bag someplace.
Yeah.
They literally have to treat it that way.
Yeah. Well, mine's much different.
Yes, Jensen.
Jensen, you started an international incident?
Well, not really. It was just in my high school.
Okay.
The SATs, I had practiced those, you know, you take tutors and do it for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
We showed up at Allie's high school, actually, Louisville High School, and it was taking a while for us to go inside. And I was like, this is very strange. And so a guy gets up and he says, I have bad news for everyone. We did not get the tests. And I was like, this is insane. I've been studying for this the whole time. Like, I can't do this. He goes, and everyone's like, oh, you know, booing or whatever. And he goes, now, you need to get your forms. I have your registration forms. There are high schools all around the area from El Camino to Taft that are doing the test today. So if you get there quick, you might be able to take the test.
Oh, good God.
There are maybe 200 kids here, you know? So I figured out, like, I'm not going to wait for them to say my name. I'm going to run up there and just be like, Jensen Karp, and hand me the thing. And then I'm going to run to to Taft or El Camino to make sure that I can take this test today because I'm not waiting. I studied for today.
Right.
So I run up there, and I'm yelling Jensen Karp, and they're like, please don't. I'm like, Jensen Karp, just hand me the thing. And now everyone starts yelling their name. Mm. Everyone's like, you know, Diana! You know, like, everyone's...
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
And I'm starting to get everyone to run. Everyone's now running up to this guy. And so this is the sad part. This is the part I'm not proud of. So I get the Jensen carp. He finally pulls it out. He's like, make this guy stop doing it. Pulls it out, and I'm like trying to get out of the scrum. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I got to get to my car. And I'm moving my arms, and I feel sort of like a pushback.
Uh-oh.
And I don't...
You started a whole fight.
I don't push hard. I just barely tap.
Uh-huh.
And I feel this like buckling.
Oh, no.
And I look over, and I toppled another student over who had fake legs.
You're making that up.
Swear on my entire life, on my mother's life, on my baby Adler's life. I knocked her over.
Both legs.
One leg.
One leg, okay.
And she went to the ground, and then I was like, oh, my God. And I went, and I was like, can I help you get up? And she's like, no, don't help me get up. And she was like, I'm just trying to take a test. And I didn't help her up, and then I just ran and did my SATs, and it was my lowest scoring of the whole time.
Is that why when I said I went to Louisville off of Topanga Canyon, you were like, oh, God.
Well, yeah, and I checked both your legs.
To make sure?
No, but for reals, that's a true story.
Oh, that's insane.
And then I caused, and then it was like I swear, it was like the closest I've ever been to like a riot.
To a stampede?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a bunch of nerds trying to take that test, right?
We want to take a test now.
Like, go home.
Come on,
do
man.
It another time.
My parents weren't going to pay my way into college. I had to get in there.
I would imagine most kids, though, would have said, oh, I guess I don't have to take the test today. I would have been so
that
happy.
That was my first thought.
Really?
Yeah.
You got to take it, though. Or that back then.
Yeah, but not necessarily
all
then.
Right. Do we have time? Can we squeeze in one call before the break or no? Okay. Let's try Matt and Santa Ana line 2.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you. You caused
a panic.
Yeah, a little bit. When I was back in junior high, 8th grade. See, I've been out of, I graduated like 30 years ago, so I've been out of school for a very long time now.
About 30 years, I bet.
Over 30, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Over 30 years. I called in a bomb scare to my junior high school.
Oh,
I got
my
dared,
gosh.
Because I got dared to.
Because you got what?
Dared. You got dared
to.
Yeah.
Wait, that's a real crime.
Yeah, that's a like a police can arrest you crime, isn't it?
Yeah, I got caught 6 months after the fact.
Whoa, how'd you get caught? How'd you get caught?
Well, apparently the schools have, they can trace lines when they call. But back then I had a three-way phone line. So I was talking to Buddy Money, I clicked them over, went to the three-way call. He was listening. I called it in, and when they traced the call, finally, it went back to his house. And then he ratted me out.
And then he buckled.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, he buckled. Wow. He ratted me out.
I love that 35 years ago, caller ID took 6 months.
Well, Matt, I think you will join us in saying to the young people listening today, don't do that.
Don't ever call in a bomb scare, right?
No. That'd be you would interrupt the presidential speech now if you do it.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. You caused a panic. That's the topic. 1-800-520-1067. Don't knock down people with fake legs.
Come on. It wasn't on purpose.
That's a step too far. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. We got some new hardware here at K-Rock, and Kevin's having a little bit of a learning curve on it.
A little bit.
I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
The new one from 21 Pilots next here on K-Rock at 1-800-520-1067 is our number. If you caused a public panic, we want to talk to you like Wendy in Long Beach. Wendy, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. What happened? How did you get people all upset?
Hi there. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I work at an elementary school, and a little boy got suspended, and I had to call his parents, mom, dad, whatever, to come pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
And called dad, didn't answer, called mom. She said she couldn't come because she was working, but he had to go home. Tried to call dad again. Mom ends up showing up, and she only speaks Spanish, and I'm the only one in the office that can, like, try to communicate what's
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
Dad shows up, too, and she's trying to tell me, like, she's acting really scared of dad. And somehow I figured out that she had a restraining order against dad. So basically she was saying she was scared of him. I was trying to understand what she was saying in Spanish, and I may have overreacted a little bit, and I ended up calling 911 because of what I thought she was saying, based on my
I'm having trouble understanding what you're saying.
So she was not understanding with her limited Spanish what she was saying, took it for the worst, called 911.
Okay. And what was the public panic?
Correct. anyway, so what had happened was the principal ended up putting the school on lockdown because she thought we had a parent that was going to
kidnap
be
a kid,
danger
basically.
To the school.
Oh,
and kidnap the child. So the school went on lockdown, and then the next thing you know, the SWAT team shows up.
Okay,
and,
all right.
And the next thing you know, parents show up in the drop-off line following the lockdown procedures, and they're trying to pick up all their children.
Wow.
And get out of school.
Okay.
It ended up being on the news later that night.
Congratulations.
Oh,
I mean,
you're the first person.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I mean, I didn't think you were going to get there, but you legitimately caused a public panic. I mean, when they locked down the school and the SWAT team shows up, that's legit. It
truly paid off in that story.
All right. Well done, Wendy. Thank you so much for the call. Sorry for that misunderstanding. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls after the new one from 21 Pilots here on K-Rock.
21 Pilots on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:39.
Give you a chance to see them at Staples Center November 1st or Honda Center November 2nd coming up in a little bit here on K-Rock. And you'll then be qualified for 21 Pilots in Las Vegas. It's K-Rock Road Trip 2019, destination number 5. All right, you caused a panic, you guys. That's the topic. Autumn in Huntington Beach, welcome to the show. Thank you for listening. You were in Pakistan when this happened?
Yes, I was in Pakistan 3 months before 9/11.
Ooh, oh, wow. Okay. What happened?
The people I was visiting with took me to their mosque to visit it. So I'd take my shoes off, do a tour. And little kids were coming up to me, like, trying to touch me. Like, they'd never seen a blonde white girl at their mosque. And some people asked to take pictures of me, and my guards were telling them no. And they started taking pictures anyway, so it started a big pushing scuffle.
Oh,
right?
No.
And inside their mosque.
That's what you want. That's what you want, right, Autumn? And that's the plan.
Were you scared?
No, because the guards were pretty tough, so army guards, they were fine,
and they were and they were on your side, right? The guards were looking out for
you. I'm more impressed that Autumn goes to Pakistan for work and has guards. What are you, a queen?
I was like 25 and went alone, too.
Wow.
Wow.
Quite a life this autumn.
Yeah. No kidding. All right. I hope we get to talk to you again. I have a feeling you have many more stories, Autumn. We appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's go to Sean, also in Huntington Beach, up next, line 3 here on K-Rock.
Morning, Sean.
Hey, what to do, nephew?
What'd it do for you?
So I was in high school working at a local movie theater as an usher, and there was a control room where we'd put all the old, you know, the cardboard, we'd break it down, and we'd hang out in there, try to avoid doing work. And they had a fantastic thing called Gum Away, which we never used it other than making flamethrowers with it with a lighter. So we were playing around in the control room with it. And this is on Christmas Day, so almost all the theaters were at capacity. And all of a sudden, the fire alarms go off.
Oh.
And everyone starts panicking. Everyone's leaving the theater. And we don't know what to do, so we open the door. We're fanning out the room with cardboard. Fire department shows up. People are all just in a panic. And we just sit back acting like we don't know what's going on. And thank God, still to this day, up until right now, no one knew that it was us.
What a beautiful Christmas story, you guys. Huh?
It really is.
It's wonderful.
The baby Jesus would be so proud. Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. All right, let's try Sarah. She's in Riverside, line 4 up next. Sarah is a teacher, so we start off by loving you and thanking you for calling.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much. Mm-hmm. So I teach high school in Riverside, and unfortunately, part of our job is to prepare the students for live-action shooting because of what's been going on.
That's
in the
a
real
terrible
world.
Thing that you have to do. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So the way that we do it is through a series of videos that helps prepare them when different types of lockdowns and things like that. And so we were showing the video school-wide, and there were different days that we had to show the video. And my students had a great question. They said, well, why do we practice fire drills in real life, but we watch videos on this most important topic, and can we practice what they're showing us? And so I thought that was a great idea, so let's practice what lockdown looks like. So we shut off the lights and we start moving the furniture to protect the doors and the windows, and my student picks up one of the desks, and as he's setting it down on top of another desk, hits the fire alarm, and the fire alarm goes off.
Oh.
To evacuate the whole school. Problem is that in real life, recently was the school shooting where the shooter had pulled the fire alarm to evacuate the school and caused the havoc. So
oh,
we didn't know whether we were supposed to be exiting or if that was the point of us watching the videos, to know not to evacuate till we heard from the principal. And so there was this whole back and forth unfortunately, by the time I had reached the principal via cell phone, we had all evacuated, and it was the end of the day. We missed the release bell. Students were upset. Faculty at the time wasn't making fun of me, but 2 years later, I still never hear the end of it.
I mean, that's probably should happen.
And you're still and you're still a teacher there.
I'm still a teacher there, and we, yes.
Okay. All right.
Safety first, I guess.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Fullerton, line six. This is going to be Keith, by the way. This may be the topper on this topic.
Hey, Keith.
Hey there. I evacuated my congressional office building that I worked at as an intern, actually during 9/11. It wasn't the actual day. It was maybe a month or two later. I accepted a hand-delivered letter from somebody, and part of the procedure is, you know, you kind of open it up and you leave it on the chair for the congressman to open. And somebody opened it, and it was a letter, I guess, from kind of a religious zealot. And so they thought that it had maybe had anthrax in it, because shortly after 9/11, there was an anthrax scare.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, a bunch of them. Yeah.
So they evacuated the entire building, had to get it tested, and luckily it came back negative. But yeah, that caused the scare.
Yikes. Total madhouse.
So you were the guy responsible for evacuating the Capitol.
Well, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Also, 9/11 was my first day as an intern. So,
wow.
Yeah,
that's a bummer.
I'll tell you, I haven't been back to D.C., and I don't know that I will.
I don't think they'll let you back.
And you narked out some dude in the mailroom for the coke he had.
Comedian Jay Moore is here, and we'll come in just after the top of the hour on the world famous K Rock.
It's one of my favorite people we ever have on, by the way.
Agreed.
Love Jay.
I have trouble keeping up with him. I'm going to be honest. My mind works about half speed of his.
No, it's exhausting.
I do my best.
I'm excited to hear his Lakers talk, because he's a Lakers diehard.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have plenty to say. Jay is a lot of fun, but he's like a workout, though. At the end of it, you're glad you did it, but you're exhausted.
You're exhausted. By the way, he does all the work.
I don't know
what we're exhausted for.
Yeah, just try to keep up.
Yeah.
First, though, Allie's here with what's happening on a Thursday morning.
Well, a movie I think all of us are pretty pumped to see out today, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Can't wait.
It's Quentin Tarantino's latest movie with just an insane cast.
Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio, Margot Robbie, Al Pacino, Timothy Olyphant, Brad Pitt. I mean, it's insane. But you know what almost didn't happen?
What?
Brad Pitt.
What?
You know who he originally thought of and even talked to about the role?
DJ Qualls.
DJ Qualls, you
guys.
Gotta
be.
It is not DJ Qualls. It's Tom Cruise.
No kidding.
So Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Cruise would have been the two main dudes of this film.
I feel like there's a height difference there, and that might be a problem. No?
Oh, I don't think there's a height difference for a lot of actors if you really get down to the nitty-gritty. None of them are
tall.
Very tall humans.
All right.
Some random ones, you're like, wow, you are a real live boy. But the rest.
Tiny men.
Tiny, tiny men.
All right.
But that would have been interesting, right? Tom Cruise?
Sure.
In this role?
I think I like this better, but.
I think Tom Cruise is great in every movie he does.
He absolutely is.
I mean, I think he's such a big star. And such an oddball person that he is underrated as an actor, in my opinion.
Do you know that in Top Gun 2, which everyone saw this trailer recently, obviously, do you know that he forced every actor who flies a fighter plane in it to learn how to fly a fighter plane? So all those scenes are really the people flying them.
That does not surprise me in the least.
It seems insane.
It does seem insane.
Like, if I was an actor, I'd be like, nah, dude. Like,
Stunt guy.
I'm fine with just having it be some CGI.
I mean, you know that Tom Cruise would do that.
Yes, let him do it.
You don't know that he would make everybody else that's in the movie do that.
Yeah, I don't need this skill, bud.
You okay, Bean?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Thank you. Bleeding, though.
I thought you might.
I'm sorry?
He hit something. You didn't hear that?
You're bleeding?
I don't know what happened.
You're just sitting here talking. How can you hurt yourself?
Bean is doing his own stunts.
Really, though, you okay? Do you need a sack?
No, okay. I'm good.
Okay, you know what you are, though.
What am I?
A zombie eater.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
A poll of 2,000 Americans' eating and snacking habits discovered that the majority are zombie eaters. 88% of people just eating while looking at their screens. That's phones. that's laptops. You're just not even paying any attention to what you're eating.
Oh, so you're tuned out everything else. You don't know what you're doing. I gotcha.
Huh? I think we're all zombie eaters, right?
What's with the zombies?
Right?
I mean, I guess so, yeah.
Okay, so there you go.
Okay. Eat it. Better sell than payoff.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot there. I just knew I'd get emails like, are you ever going to do the zombie story? No, it sucked. But yeah, by the way, the final season of Silicon Valley returning in October. No premiere date has been set, but we do know only 7 episodes. I mean, what's up, Mike Judge and Alec Berg? A little lazy, right? But 7 episodes that took Kumail Nanjiani away from not only our show, but Conan O'Brien.
Sure.
Remember, had to cancel like That's 20 right. minutes prior to the Conan taping.
Yep.
But I am excited for that final season. See how they wrap it all up. What's going to happen with Pied Piper?
Do you have chicken finger?
Do they have chicken finger? I mean, so much right there, you guys. This is an interesting casting, you guys. According to the Toronto Film Festival, The Weeknd, or The Weeknd, has been tapped for a role in the upcoming crime thriller Uncut Gems. Hmm. And you think, okay, that's an interesting casting. But then you hear who the lead is in this movie.
DJ Qualls?
DJ Qualls.
Another good guess. Mm-hmm.
It is set in New York City's Diamond District, and the film follows a character who's a charismatic jeweler, always in pursuit of the next big score. But after he makes a series of high-stakes bets, he finds himself trying to balance business, family, and his enemies who are closing in. That role?
Elf!
Adam Sandler.
No, it's not Elf.
I'm sorry?
Adam Sandler is playing the lead, who's this jeweler that gets caught up in a bunch of stuff.
With The Weeknd.
We don't know what The Weeknd's role will be. Mm-hmm. However,
so far, this story's underwhelming.
However,
this is the what project. Is a zombie eater, though?
Kevin Garnett also in the
what?
Movie.
What's happening?
Idina Menzel and Lakeith Stanfield. What?
That is quite a weird cast.
Such a weird cast.
I want to see it.
I absolutely want to see it.
I like the idea of The Weeknd and Adam Sandler in like a Lethal Weapon type of thing.
Yeah, I think he probably won't have that big of a
Dang
role.
It.
The Weeknd will just be like walking into the jeweler, mm-hmm. which is Adam Sandler.
Oh, look,
be
like, it's The Weeknd.
Like it's a Weeknd. What do you need? And he'll be like, I just want a chain. And cool.
Wow, you brought it to life.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I don't even need to see it now.
I mean, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
But Adam Sandler.
Yeah, weird.
Right?
He's good at drama, man.
I thought Adam Sandler had an exclusive Netflix deal now, and that's where all of his movies go.
No, I think he has to deliver a certain amount per year or whatever. But
he can work outside the system as well. Outside. Okay.
Also, why is he dressed like a house painter all the time? Do you know what I mean? He dresses like a juggalo, even. Like big baggy t-shirts and pants.
Sort of does,
Even at premieres and stuff.
He's comfy.
This is a bold choice.
Right?
If you were Adam Sandler and you could dress however you want, wouldn't you just be comfy?
Yeah, I guess. Sure.
I totally would.
It looks like pajamas.
You think he's like schlubby?
He wears sleep shirts. You know how like there's certain shirts, you're like, this is too big, I'm going to use it as a sleep shirt. He wears that out in public.
I respect it.
I respect it too.
All right.
Oh my God. To attain that level of stardom and still be like, I don't need to impress you mofos.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And also, he doesn't even care what movies he makes. He's just like, where can we go? Can I take all my friends to Argentina?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And I bet he doesn't own a suit.
I would think not.
I don't know. He had to wear one when he was the wedding singer.
Yeah, that movie rules, by the way.
It's so good. It's one of his best. All right, you guys, let's get out of here.
Lord have mercy.
Some birthdays for you. Matt LeBlanc, Finn Balor, and Mac Lethal.
Goodbye, Kevin and Bean.
I'm going to say this show just got exponentially a lot better. Our friend Jay Moore has joined us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jay.
Here comes AM Radio Al Pacino. Morning zoo drive.
That's us.
That's
Jensen
us.
Just puked in a wastebasket. It's a chaos
That's
party.
I mean, it's been a weird morning.
Chaos party.
You are the second guest ever to go to our other place, to our old location.
Who was the first?
Was it
Tracy?
It's only one. You'd think I'd remember.
You
brought it up, too.
Yeah, I did. It was our entertainment.
Matt Bellany?
Yeah,
Matt Bellany.
Yeah, it was Matt Bellany.
Yes.
Yep.
He went the other place. He's like, company. Hey, there's no one here. And then he realized.
I rang the buzzer at the old location where apparently is an old bus depot.
Yep, right.
And there was not one car in the lot. There's weeds like up to your thigh.
Like, uh-huh. These people
somebody,
are...
But somebody answered and said, hello. I said, yeah, I'm here for K-Rock, Kevin and Bean. I'm just a little early. And they go, who? Oh, that's no. About right. Kevin and Bean. And then they said, all right, hold on. And then I heard the din a din 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 the little Muzak. And then my assistant, Yasmin, typed in, here's the new address to Kevin and Bean.
Oh, oops.
And I just backed out without even looking. I could have been T-boned by a bus. In an old locale. I just... Because slow would have been an admission of guilt.
Sure. Yeah. We moved 9 months ago, Jay, but that's not your fault because we haven't had you in here for a year, which I'm embarrassed about. And so we should never go a year without seeing you.
Yeah.
Ever.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, it's ridiculous.
I agree. Somebody should book me more often at places that are relevant to the Kevin and Bean show with Jensen and Allie. And
you
Chip.
Look fantastic, first of all. You look happy.
Wow.
You look healthy. You look buff.
Yeah.
Hold on. There's got to be a second part to this.
Somebody got pregnant.
Somebody online yesterday said, when did Jay Moore turn into Dave Bautista? Because you have seriously been working out, dude.
I need some help with the Bautista reference.
He's an actor in Guardians of the Galaxy and used very to be a popular. Pro wrestler.
He's a big monster dude. Yeah, it's a compliment.
Big buff dude.
Yeah, it's a very, very much a compliment.
I gave up. Thank you. I gave up Coca-Cola 10 days ago because I got on a scale and said 208. And I went, oh, hell no.
And just Coca-Cola was it?
Well, it wasn't...
Among other things.
Literally. Coke is it. That's kind of the slogan.
Sure.
But just that was just an unacceptable thing for me, so I'm trying to get down now to my fighting
what's
weight.
What's your perfect weight?
Get a scale.
What? Whatever it is now?
What's my fighting weight? Get a scale. Get a scale. That's angry South Boston. Get a scale, kiddo.
What are you
wrestling
for?
Season, I'm like 182.
Oh, wow.
And so when he says wrestling season, that's like a serious thing. You coach wrestling.
I'm coach at Palisades High, yeah.
Palisades High.
Why,
you
said, Jay?
That's like your second. Didn't you do Crespi, too?
Crespi was my first ever, and then I went to Palisades, then I went to Beverly Hills High, and then I went
But you don't
to
have kids that old, right?
That's correct.
You're just a good coach.
Just all my life to the room.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is there any ever trouble with people going, hey, parents or somebody saying, hey, we don't like what he does on the side? Does that ever happen?
That would entail a parent being involved.
Okay, sure. Sure, there's that.
It's wrestling.
Paying attention.
It's wrestling. I was at Simi Valley, and I went to shower after practice once, and the coach's, quote-unquote, lounge to shower in, there was just filled with dead basketballs. Like, not just the shower. The entire lounge was just like a dead wasteland of basketballs. So I just had to stand on basketballs. I was doing parkour and shower and trying not to break ankles. That was at Simi Valley. We sent like 16 kids to state. That's why they're really behind you around here in this sport.
I know your answer was you owe your life to the room, but seriously, you haven't been coaching wrestling forever. At some point in the last couple of years, you decided, hey, I'm gonna start doing that. Why?
I was at a friend's house. Don, I think you guys know Don Tardino. He, CSI Miami and show Firefly, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at his house. We were working on a script, and his kids were walking around in Crespi gear. And I just said, do they need an assistant? It's completely random, like 1 a.m. Why his kids were up that late? It's negligent parenting. And I said, do they need an assistant wrestling coach? And he just goes, I think they do. Like, there was just an overhaul. Like, they had new.
Wait, that just came out of the blue?
Well, I've always wanted to coach wrestling.
You have.
So I've always wanted to write a script about being a wrestling coach or something. And then he just said, I think they do. And then he put me in touch with the athletic director. And then I was, next thing I was an assistant coach at Crespi Carmelite High School.
Do you know how to coach? I mean, it's a different thing from being
I'm a great coach.
It's a different being a wrestler and a coach.
Yeah, it is. I'm a much better coach. When I coach, no one's balls are in my face, and I'm pinning myself to get out of a cradle.
What do you get out of it, Jay? Why do you
get balls in my face?
Allie with an RBI single, and in come the Dodgers. The mayhem continues. What do I get out of it?
Yeah, what does it do for you mentally or physically or whatever?
Well, I get down to 182, which is pretty sweet, you know.
Sure.
All right. I'm an alcoholic. I like to give with conditions. So in the wrestling room, there's nothing they can give me back. So I can't build the resentment. There's no conditional giving. It's the only place I'm actually selfless.
Interesting.
The only thing they give me back is feeling good about themselves. And it's...
And winning, and then everybody going, look at that coach.
And the, kid.
Yeah.
Look at that kid. That kid's great. I mean, you're just like a ghost. It's great. And it's the only place I'm completely selfless. Completely, completely, completely
selfless. Was that a difficult transformation? And I'm not saying about you specifically, but all of us, basically.
No, because I needed it so badly. Yeah. Like, I was starving. I was like a dying of thirst guy, like in the desert. Like, I just needed it so bad. And then once I got in there, I realized, like, oh, I'm really good at this. But not in the way, not X's and O's. Like, I can't teach a kid off the street well. I can't teach him how to, like, this is a single leg takedown. This is a double leg takedown. This is what you want to do to start your cradle or your front headlock. I'd be terrible at that. But I'm really good at the mental. I'm more of like a, you know, behavioral therapist.
That's fantastic.
Just getting the mindset in, locking in. Like, I can't teach it. Like, front headlock is like my jam, but I can't teach it. I have no idea how to teach it. I just know, like, I can just vibe myself into it.
So it's all about motivation for you and your students.
They're greater than they think they are, and I just keep moving the ceiling up and proving it to them. If they just, you know, they got to trust you a lot. Because if you're like wrong one time, you lose them forever.
A wrestling sensei.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes.
Look at our boy growing up here, you guys.
Aww. Not exactly Jay. A lot of comedy here, but Irvine Improv, I'll be doing. I'll show you the chicken. I'll do it as Colin. All right, Irvine Improv. I'll show you the chicken wing.
Yes. You know, Irvine Improv.
Elementary moves like a fireman's carry.
This weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, tickets are on sale now. Improv.com. In your I know we have to.
Yeah, we got to take a break.
No, but just real quick.
Okay.
In the rough time that you've had in the last year or so, was comedy always there for you, Jay? Was there a time where you stepped away from comedy?
The audience, not so much, but comedy was always there. I did the Raleigh Improv and the Pittsburgh Improv, and combined, I left more people in my car.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I stopped doing my podcast.
What's the
point of doing a podcast if people are going to come to your live dates? I don't have any ads. I don't make any money off of it. I do it to get people in the rooms.
Yeah. But what?
It takes a lot of energy to get guests.
Of course it does, yes.
As you know.
But you were, because you went through that tough time with the divorce and everything like that. I was just wondering if there was ever a time where you just couldn't be funny, or was it always there?
No, I have to be.
You have to be funny.
It's just what it is.
It's
but now's harder than ever, because the child support reality is kicking me in my balls.
We are really in a humor section here.
Oh, my God. You want to hear something funny? $22,000 a month. Try hitting that.
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No.
And that's not including rent or car.
Oh,
what?
No.
I have to make $32,000 if I want to go to McDonald's.
Let's talk about the shows again. Improv this weekend.
Help him out.
Oh, my God.
No kidding. Thank you, Jensen.
My God.
Forget the improv. You need to go fund me, Jay.
I accept.
Okay.
We're going right now.
Go to improv.com to go see Jay Moore at the Irvine Improv this weekend, and then we're all going to Venmo him some money. A quick break, more with Jay right after this on K-Rock.
Jay Moore.
Jay Moore,
in the studio,
everybody. Yeah. Comedian, like actor, and apparently former podcaster. He is going to be at the Irvine Improv. 5 big shows this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He needs you to come see the shows,
please,
you guys.
Please come.
Tickets on sale now, improv.com, 18 and up.
Hey, Bean.
Yes, Jay.
I could even do everything as Norm McDonald if you want me to, you know.
Call him Norm, please.
Hi,
Bean.
Norm.
Oh, hey. Who's, you know, Bean, I went to the old address.
Yeah, I heard
morning,
you did. Yeah,
station. Well, the parking lot was empty of cars, but it's filled with crack horse.
Yes. sounds about right, Norm.
It does sound about right.
Just had to mix in some comedy.
Speaking of comedy, Jay, you are no longer an advisor for the Los Angeles Lakers. They are not asking your opinion anymore?
I've never been an advisor.
Well, you kind of were on the inside.
We got that from you.
This is completely, I've never, ever in my life been an advisor to the Los Angeles Lakers.
We made that up.
Dating Jeannie Buss, though, right?
And Jeannie and I are very, very good friends, and I love her very, very much.
And I'm sure there was some pillow talk where you had some ideas.
Whoa, easy.
Bean's trying to push this.
I'm just saying.
Bean is really trying to push
really
this. When I was assistant coach of the Lakers.
Jay was like, where do you want to go to breakfast? Also, trade for Anthony Davis.
The Kobe Shaq era, I was a hell of a coach. That's really how I got into coaching wrestling, separating those two.
Who's got a better team next year, Lakers or Clippers?
Lakers.
He's a diehard.
So
I am a diehard, but I'm a realist. There's shooters everywhere. It's like Vietnam.
There's a lot of you guys picked up a lot of the same older meme guys who aren't necessarily going to step up. They should have picked up a couple other actual.
What
Steph
older
Curry
meme
would have been nice. I mean, you have
I see Steph
again.
Curry.
Seth Curry. Seth.
Oh,
brother.
Seth. Okay.
Let's get Ozzie Canseco while we're at it.
Good reference.
Thank you.
I'll say Dan McGuire as well. But nice. I will. I just think that there's some scrubs still.
Jensen's a Clipper fan.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
And that's
like,
why we're comparing.
Let's write out the starting five. You have, if you're the Lakers, you have
Anthony Davis, DeMarcus
Cousins.
Hold on. Okay.
If you're the Lakers, Boogie Cousins.
Starting.
I swear on Boogie Cousins.
Starting.
That's, yeah. So if you're the Lakers, you have JaVale McGee, Kyle Kuzma, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope coming off the bench.
Yeah.
That's lights out. For, you're done. You're
listen,
done.
How everyone are you not
has,
done?
Everyone
Montrezl
has to stay healthy. Lou Williams.
Now
Montrezl.
You're not, so back to
Lou
you,
Williams
Clippers
a
fan.
Lou Williams
straight
is a
up,
problem.
Lou Williams is a menace. Like, straight up.
I just, I think that, I do, I'm, listen, I'm not a Lakers hater at all. I actually enjoy watching them. I just, I think that they clearly waited till last minute to start signing a bunch of people.
Well, yeah, because they had to, because Kawhi Leonard completely drug us through the BS factory.
Which it appears he did.
Because he wanted to make love to Paul George.
I think...
Yeah,
with I just think
let's say they both stay healthy.
You know they're both a couple of bottoms, total power bottoms. Those two idiots.
You don't want to be called.
I really
bottom.
Want to. I want to stay in the Valley and play for the Clippers. Good luck with all that.
Listen, I grew up in the Valley and I love the Clippers. These are my people.
These all right. Well, yeah. Jesus.
How long have you loved the Clippers?
I thought he was talking about the Jews.
Listen, those are my people too. Since I was 6 years old, I couldn't afford Lakers tickets.
At six, who could?
Yeah, well, I mean,
he didn't even have a job yet.
What a weird thing to say.
When did you become a Lakers guy?
November. I've always loved the Lakers. I mean, I remember watching when Michael Jordan was in the finals against the Lakers, and just like I just remember watching Vlade Divac pass out.
Oh,
of the
I hated him so much.
And I was like, who is this guy? He's one of the best passing big men I've ever seen in my life.
He also shot threes terribly and smoked.
And was the biggest flopper. That's what I hated about him.
What's not to love?
I hated him.
What's not to love?
I used to boo him. I'm a Laker fan, and I used to boo. I hated that guy.
I've seen you. I used to boo Eldon Campbell. I had season tickets like Eldon Campbell, Shaq. You know, back
good years. Yeah,
Nicky Van Smack. Yeah, Anthony Peeler and the club set.
Labradori.
Yeah,
the greatest.
Those were the days.
That's
but now that you're married to Jeannie Buss, I'm sure you have
right.
season
now
tickets.
Now that I'm married to Jeannie Buss,
oh, you're running the team. Kids,
and
so
you know taught Kuzma that jumper.
So
you've done a great job over there.
I wish I taught Kuzma anything.
He is great.
He didn't shoot that well at Utah.
All right, so let's say that they're both healthy all the way through the season.
He's going to have the Lakers above them, which is not true.
And you're going to have the Clippers above
yes.
the Lakers?
Because it's the Clippers.
Well, that I do agree with. It has a curse, and we could find a way that someone loses a leg
you
mid-season.
You guys are a spin-off sitcom.
We are.
You guys are Laverne and Shirley, yeah. And we will always be happy.
Laverne and Shirley's nice. I was going to say we're a different world.
No, but you're Carmine on Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, the big ragu.
You're the father. Oh, what am I going to do about my pasta?
You're the spin-off is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
You are the
it's totally
spin-off
true.
Sitcom. We will always be happy days. We can go through Arnold's, we can go through.
Yeah.
We can have Mork from Mork show up.
Do you honestly believe there's something to a curse to a sports team?
Yeah,
because
Clippers,
it doesn't make sense mentally. It doesn't
Elton
make sense.
Brand, I swear on Elton Brand and Boogie Cousins.
Elton Brand was a great pickup.
Yeah, and he
and
wasted
then
his career.
Yeah.
What do you mean a pickup? Didn't you draft him?
No. Elton Brand came over from Philly.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, that's right. I didn't know that.
But
Elton Brand, is there a player who has wasted their career more than Elton Brand?
By the way,
wasted his career with
I
the Clippers.
I saved my money when Elton Brand signed. I bought the home and away jersey. That's how excited
Respect.
I was.
Wow.
That's how excited I was at his signing. And then
42?
Every day since then, he gained about 3 pounds a day. And then by the
Eating
time...
his feelings.
Baron Davis as well. I was such a big Baron Davis fan. And then he shows up on the team and I was like, where's Baron Davis? Why? Who ate Baron
he
Davis?
Ate
why
Baron
did
Davis,
Baron yeah. Davis eat Baron Davis? Wasn't Elton Brand 42?
Yeah, 42.
That's a tough number to pull off.
Yeah.
So Jay, do you miss doing sports radio?
No.
Really?
No.
You were so good
at
it.
He is
you were good
at
it, yeah.
No, man.
You don't miss it at all?
When corporate gets involved, man, they ruin the water supply for life.
We don't know about that.
Because our corporate is fantastic.
Yeah, we love it.
Everything is great.
You guys have always told me off mic how corporate's been supportive of you.
Thank
guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack.
Yeah. Make you leave parking lots filled with weeds and crack.
Are you feeling great about your sets when you walk off stage
always.
These days?
Yeah, that's the one thing I'm like certain of in my life, that when I do stand up, I rock the mic. I love it so much. So what if, you know, I was going to do something self-deprecating, but I couldn't think of anything. So,
wow.
No, I know.
That's the weirdest compliment you've ever given yourself.
It is probably the weirdest one. I was going to go, so what if, you know what, on the way in, I was listening to like Rich Voss and Bobby Kelly just like throw dirt on each other on some other channel. And I was like in that mindset. But no, when I do stand up, I know I'm the best.
Because there are some guys who have been doing it as long as you have who are literally just doing, they're kind of going through the motions, so they're just doing it because that's what they do.
Because they had child support payments.
And they had child support. Maybe it's, they need a job. You know what I mean? But you still would do it for free because you still love it.
I do it for free a lot.
Yeah, you pop up all over. Yeah.
Like my buddy Adam Hunter, a great wrestling coach at Paul Revere Middle School. Adam Hunter's got an open mic at the Dime on Tuesdays. I'll go by there. It's like six people. They're all other comics.
By the way, Jay's donated his time for April Fool's just three times.
Yeah. That's right. Which is amazing. And I want back in.
All right. We're doing it again next year.
Yeah.
You're in.
I just got to make sure Brad Williams has exhausted that striptease.
You were so upset when Brad Williams went before you. Or after you. Which was it?
I wasn't upset. I was just...
You were just like, okay, we're all playing for second place, I heard you
say. I was in awe.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't upset at all. Like, if you got it. I was in awe at how hard he had killed.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. But Brad's like one of the best comedians ever, because he takes everything you've ever wanted to know and just shoves it to the center of the table first. And then once he's disabled you, he gets into like the best stories ever. Did you ever hear a story about Dalmatians hate midgets?
No.
Apparently, like, there's a really bad blood, like Crips Bloods relationship with like midgets and Dalmatians.
I did not realize that.
Bad news for midgets.
He had a Dalmatian in a dog park, like, make a run at him and just try to hump his life out of him. And people started filming it instead of helping him. It was the best. Brad, call in and tell that damn story.
Jay, Irvine Improv this weekend?
Yeah, that is correct.
Five shows.
You've done your research.
I have. Improv.com. Tickets are on sale now. We need to sell it out.
Yes.
Friday, 7:30, 9:30, 9:45. Saturday, 7 and 9:30. And Sunday at 7 p.m.
Can I just give some shout-outs? Yeah. A little Boo Rock.
Sure.
Diaper Shoes, Baby Shoe, Swiss Miss, Beats Central, and Ukulama. I just want to say what's up. just kids out there on that grind. You know what I'm saying? Starlito, what's up? I feel you, Starlito. All them dudes out in the Ville. What's up, son? Holler, for real. Can't even get none, man. Satisfaction style.
Who are these nicknames?
No, that's just little those homies from the hood,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, pals, man.
Pals. 76er logo upside down. It's disrespectful.
All right. Listen, before we go, Jay, I know. Thank you for the shout outs. Before we go, Allie is going to fire some questions at you. We got
Allie,
60
I'm
seconds.
Say what's up to Allie.
Yeah, she's right here. We got 60 seconds with Jay Moore. Just first thing that comes to your mind, you are on the clock. Allie, good luck.
Boobs.
If you could join the cast of any TV show, past or present, what show would you choose?
Sopranos.
Dream dinner date.
Christ.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Why doesn't Tarzan have a beard?
DollarShaveClub.com.
If animals could talk, which one would be the biggest a-hole?
House cat.
Would you ever have a carpeted bathroom?
Yes.
Creepiest thing you could say to a stranger that you pass on the street?
Well, my airbags work.
Twizzlers or Red Vines?
Twizzlers.
Did you have a nickname growing up?
No.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Absolutely, all day.
What do you think is your best trait?
My best trait?
Mm-hmm.
Compassion.
When were you the happiest?
It's been a long time.
I was hoping for now.
I don't remember.
Okay, well,
let's not end on that.
No, give him a softball.
Rewind it.
If it's real, it's real, son.
Throw a softball.
Rewind it. Let's do another one.
Come on.
The next one was, if you could choose how you'd die, would you and how?
Come on. This isn't helping.
Autoerotic asphyxiation next to Michael Hutchins' widow.
Chase, you still got it, my friend.
So much better.
We'll see you soon.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
You think about the great matchups of all time, you know, the Mayweather Pacquiao's of the world. Well, we've got one coming up right after 9. Who knows more about medicine, Dr. Drew Pinsky or Beer Mug?
Or Dr. Beer Mug.
Dr. Beer
Thank
Mug.
You.
We're going to find out. They go one-on-one against each other coming up just after 9. First, Allie is here.
Let's skip what's happening. Let's do
let's
it
go
now.
Right to that. I don't think Dr. Drew's quite ready yet.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So you do your thing, then we'll give away those 21 Pilots tickets, and then it'll be Mugs v. Drew.
All right. You guys, customers who ordered from Forever 21's plus size collection got way more than they bargained for this week. The retailer also sent out Atkins low carb lemon diet bars to its customers, including those who purchased the plus size clothing. So,
seems like that. Maybe insulting?
Words are hard. When you open up your your package and you see an Atkins bar, mm-hmm. which is, you know, what it's essentially
when I open up my package.
A diet bar. You think, oh, are they trying to tell me something? Are they fat shaming? What is happening here?
They're giving you free food. They're giving you a bonus, a little something extra you didn't pay for. They should be grateful.
Do you have chicken finger?
After the news broke, the fast fashion brand said that from time to time, Forever 21 surprises our customers with free test products from third parties in their e-commerce orders. Yeah. And they were very clear to say, this isn't just for people who were ordering plus size clothing. They sent it to everybody. But probably if you're like a size 2, you didn't look at an Atkins bar in your, you know, package and go, oh, that's kind of rude. But if you're maybe a little bit bigger and you're ordering plus size clothing and you get an Atkins bar, you think this is
mean.
This is triggering a little bit.
Yeah.
So they do it to everyone, you guys. It's just a bad, bad deal for everyone, is what Forever 21 is saying.
Sure.
Maybe don't send out extra things.
I like the word test. I like the word test product. I don't want any of that either.
No, no. Yeah. And third-party test products. Like, we're not even responsible for this. I mean, send a sticker, right? People love stickers.
People love stickers.
Sure. What people really want is a coupon for 20% off your next order. That's what they really want. Yeah.
Absolutely. Look at you working at Forever 21 now. Good job.
Creepy.
Guys, Lil Nas X is not stopping with the remixes. We thought we were going to get Dolly Parton as the next remix. No, right. No. It's BTS member RM.
Oh, RM is the best.
Is he your favorite?
He's
BTS?
The best by far.
Yeah. Well, their collaboration, Seoul Town Road.
What?
Yeah. S-E-O-U-L.
I don't even get it.
Yeah, that came out last night, and I'm sure it's going to propel them to another few weeks on the Billboard Hot 100, right?
Am I the only person that doesn't like that song?
I like the song.
I think it's catchy.
I don't like the BTS.
You are the only person.
I mean, that's what I thought. Everybody talks about like they love it, and I just feel like,
very catchy.
What am I missing? Okay.
Well, this is the only official remix to not feature Billy Ray Cyrus on it, because Billy Ray Cyrus was the first remix, and then it was his voice that used, you know, Diplo, Young Thug, Mason Ramsey, all of them. So, yeah, guys. This was interesting in the article. Cooking legend Gordon Ramsay also is interested in doing a remix as well.
What? I'm sorry, what?
What?
This party lit.
I think
in the cooking section of that song?
We slow our roll. Maybe Gordon Ramsay, take a seat for a bit. Let's let the Dolly
Parton. Soul Food Town Road?
See?
I'm just helping.
Are you?
Are you?
What is going on in England besides, you know, their new prime minister? But the palace has had to deny that Kate Middleton had Botox. Kensington Palace is fighting back after a plastic surgeon implied that Duchess Kate got Botox. A spokesperson says the allegations are categorically not true. What is happening in England that is something you have to even respond to?
Yeah, agreed.
Bean...
My guess
your
is
people
it,
help
my,
us.
My guess
I
is don't,
I can't hear you without the.
Come on, dude.
No, I'm speaking.
I can't, but I can't hear you
I'm
without.
I'm not speaking
you need
of
to
this.
Be, it's a story about London.
My guess is
I'm
that
not, can't hear
some tabloid
blah, blah, blah.
Put up a bogus story that they were asked to comment on.
You don't care about the show, man.
Just like they do here. People just print whatever, and then the people have to come out and say, no, that's not true.
Wait, but
that's
who would care guess. If she got Botox? You're saying it like it's like a terrible story. That
it's
ran.
Not a terrible story
no,
at all.
So Ali's saying, why would they even
why
respond
even
to
Why even respond
no
to something
idea.
That
well,
stupid?
I don't know. I can't answer that. I don't know.
What do you think the feeling in England is, though?
I don't think anyone cares whether she has both.
Bean!
I really
this is
don't.
All...
You've got to do it in the accent.
For God's sake,
do you think anyone cares about a story about Botox? You think I sought that out because I think people care? I sought it out so you do the goddamn accent.
Do the accent! Do it! Do it!
I can't
do
the accent! I don't have an accent.
Moving on.
Nope.
I don't have an accent.
Hey,
well done.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey. Really feel like we pushed that one.
Well done.
But the payoff is worth it. Was it worth it, though? Come
no,
on.
It sounded like
we held him hostage. Okay, I'll do it.
It's the best way to make comedy, though.
Yeah. All right.
Yelling people until they do it.
That's how
Let's
you do it.
Let's get to Muggs and Drew. Happy birthday, Matt LeBlanc, Finn Balor, and Mac Lethal.
I've been looking forward to this all day. Mm-hmm. It's a showdown, people.
It is a showdown. You know, we don't get to talk to Dr. Drew as often as we'd like. He's very kind with his time to come on once a week for our questions. But when we don't have access to Dr. Drew, we just go to Dr. Beer Mug. It's just as good.
Same.
Mug knows just as much stuff as Drew does.
But more available.
Right, just more available. That's all. Hey, Dr. Drew, how are you?
You know what's so funny about that, aside from how far amok he might run, is that whenever I do print journal articles, they'll essentially call a Dr. Mug to ask about my opinions.
That's right.
They'll either ask a homeless person or a beer mug. What do you think about his opinion about this? Like, what? Oh, my God.
Because anyway, you're both equally qualified.
Exactly.
Well, you guys are just good journalists.
Dr. Drew, Dr. Muggs.
Now, yeah, but, you guys are good journalists.
Thank you.
Before we get into what Muggs was telling us yesterday that we wanted to run by you, I'm curious about this. Your patients, do you feel that the internet has made them smarter in terms of health issues, or is it because there's so much bad information on the internet it has made them dumber regarding health issues?
I don't know whether to laugh out loud or sob uncontrollably
way
in response to that question.
I'm guessing way worse.
It's not that it's worse.
Okay.
Because it's nice to have motivated, informed patients.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is they don't understand the difference between information and the application and the wisdom associated with the application of information.
So that's why we go to Mugs.
Yeah. Exactly. You go to Mugs for that stuff.
Yeah.
But the material they bring in is always second-year medical school material, and they present it as though they're presenting me with material that I should know, and they're experts, and they're bringing me the latest, and it's, of course, it literally is people coming in and going, Dr. Pinsky, did you know the sky is blue? It is blue. It is blue. I know.
Have you ever told the patient, shut up?
No.
Have you ever told him, get off the internet?
But yes.
Okay.
Yeah, stay off Google.
Don't confuse your Google search with 10 years of medical training.
Right.
It's a very different thing.
And one other thing before we get to Mugs, and that is it true that no matter what you have, no matter how insignificant it is, if you go to WebMD, you'll be convinced you're dying?
Right, which is why there was this phenomenon called medical student syndrome. Medical students during the first 2 years of medical school would get highly preoccupied about their health and having this and that and everything.
Is that right?
Because when you don't have the wisdom of seeing it clinically 1,000 times, when you read about it, it seems like something you could have.
Hold on, Dr. Drew. Is that true, Dr. Muggs?
That is correct. I can confirm that. My colleague is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Colleague. All right. So
I'm not sure if I had a chill or threw up in my mouth.
So, Drew, I brought up, and, you know, we talk about a ton of topics in our meetings after the show, and I brought up that I had seen a very surprising study, on CBS News the other night that colon cancer in young people has been going up, and they're not exactly sure why that is. It's going down in older people, up in younger people. And Muggs, that's when you jumped in and you had a lot of knowledge on colon cancer.
Yes. Dr. Pinsky, did you know that?
It's not even posed as a question. I love that.
He went with Pinsky, which is like a more of a peer thing.
Correct.
That's right. Dr. Drew is his stage name.
Of course, Dr. the Doctor.
Of course.
I agree.
So if you eat spicy foods or hot sauces or anything that contains a spice element to it, that it greatly reduces your risk of colon cancer down the line.
I don't know of that data. Where is it published?
Well, I heard it from a guy in a bar.
Wait, okay, so hold on, Muggs. So you've presented your side. Dr.
Yeah.
Drew, you've never even heard that rumor.
No, never heard that rumor. And always be very careful when people report associations. That doesn't mean causation. We first have to do the studies that tell us what's causing things. And right now, we don't really know what's causing the increase in colon cancer. We know some of the ways to reduce the risk.
Eating spicy food,
we heard.
Bulk, non-absorbable bulk, very good. Things like psyllium husk, that kind of thing. And then if you're somebody, now you can do genetic testing, right? You can go to color.com, as we've all done. Turns out I have something called Lynch syndrome that increases my risk of colon cancer, so they've increased my screening with colonoscopies, and that reduces my risk of colon cancer.
Dr. Muggs, do you concur?
What do you say to the fact that most of the Mexican population has a low rate of colon cancer?
You made that up.
Is that a fact?
I heard that from another guy.
I will say, I've been doing a little bit of research here on the internet. Dr. Muggs, first a Dr. Drew question. The Journal of Clinical Investigation, is that something important?
Yeah, it's a good one.
spicy food lovers, the active ingredient found in chili peppers could reduce the risk of colon cancer.
Is it just like fire coming out of your butt, so it's burning bad stuff on the way out?
No. You have to think chemically. There must be something in the chemical of capsaicin or one of those spicy elements that is somehow interacting with the surface of the colon that's changing the way these abnormal growths we call polyps emerge.
I'm sorry, I got to give the first round to Dr. Beer Mug.
Thank you. Yeah.
First round, Dr. Beer Mug.
First round to Dr. Beer Mug.
I concur.
And again, at this point, it's an observation. It's an observation. Okay. It's not a causation.
All right, second topic, Beer Mug. I don't know how it came up, but you had thoughts on kidney stones.
Dr. Pinsky, did you know that adding lemon juice to your water greatly reduces the production of kidney stones?
Certain kinds of kidney stones, acidification of the urine might be worthwhile. The main thing
for certain types might be.
Yeah, and the main thing though is go ahead and take lots of fluids because that will reduce your risk of kidney stones.
And I can also back that up through a Harvard study. So he's right.
Harvard was my understudy.
So
I'm glad to know that I've got somebody covering for me that actually looks into the literature before he makes declarations.
Round two, Dr. Moe.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that was a draw. I think they both agreed with that. All right. Do you have any other crazy theory you want to use as a tiebreaker here, Muggs?
I got to say, though, the most extraordinary thing is where Muggs finds his information. I'd like to talk to this dude at this tequila bar.
Muggs, you got another one?
Yeah.
We need a tiebreaker.
My final piece here is, unlike the first two, which I really haven't been able to test, I mean, I do eat a lot of spicy food. Mm-hmm. I haven't passed any kidney stones. I don't drink that much lemon water, which I need to.
Let's get to the third one, if you don't mind.
Here's the third one. Dr. Pinsky, did you know that smoking marijuana greatly induces the endorphin and serotonin uptake in your brain while working out?
Well, I would. That makes perfect sense to me. And it does that at a baseline too, so I think what you're saying is that it amplifies the serotonin endorphin effects of exercise, and that makes sense to me.
But that wasn't a tiebreaker. Now we're tied again.
No, but you know what we've done is we've established that we have two great physicians on staff here.
Working on the show.
What we know is that they're equally smart.
Again, we got to find the Oracle of El Coyote. I've got to find that one.
Equally smart, equally qualified.
DrDrew.com is where you want to go for all of the great podcasts. Also, details on the Midday Live Show on 790 KABC from noon to 3, Monday through Friday. And don't forget, you can download the Heal app in the App Store or Google Play and have Beer Mug come to your home and perform an operation on you. Thanks, Drew. We'll talk to you next week.
Scared.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 939.
See, again, I was expecting a hey out of Chip. She's going to keep us on the edge of our seat right until her last day.
Can't control the magic, man.
I know.
Don't want to do it ever again.
Oh, look at that.
Whoa. Did I ruin it for everybody now because I said something?
Again?
I'm sorry. Again? Allie's here with our final look at what's happening here on this Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show.
What's going on?
Remember the big reveal for like Apple TV, how everyone was like, what? Did you guys know this was happening today? It just seemed really kind of budget. Like it was just weak.
With a lot of celebrities. There was no footage, basically.
No. Right. Yeah. No. Well, AT&T has set its big reveal for HBO Max. They're going to do it on October 29th. Topics expected to be covered are pricing, subscription features, product demos. The service is supposed to come out in 2020, but already has major celeb backing. Project starring Anna Kendrick, Ansel Elgort, Kaley Cuoco, and several others already set. But I've heard such random things about HBO Max that some people are thinking it might cost as much as $17 a month, which then makes Disney Plus look real good.
What's
the
greatest deal ever?
$6.99, I think, to start.
But I don't know. I can't imagine they would charge that much.
I can't either.
Right?
That's more than Netflix.
It is. I mean, it's more than the good Netflix, which is $12.99.
They have to know the market. There's no
they
way
they have to.
Is HBO Go $9.99? Like the, you know what I mean? Like the
I don't know.
I think it's like $9.99. So that would be weird to go almost double.
I'm hoping that all these people that are thinking they're right about things really have no idea. Which tends to happen in situations like this, you guys. I'm not sure if you heard about this situation happening at a restaurant in Baltimore. They've been in quite the fight with PETA.
Okay.
It started back in September when PETA ran a billboard in Baltimore that showed a picture of a crab that read, "I'm me, not meat." And the "me" was capitalized in "me" and "meat."
I like meat.
And then Jimmy's Famous Seafood in Baltimore responded with the caption with a cooked crab that says, "Steamed crabs, here to stay." And the "me" in "steamed" was capitalized.
I like it. It's a battle.
That
it's a beef.
Funny.
So it's a battle. And mm-hmm. it just went to their social media. People were mad. Then people were like, "No, this is awesome, Jimmy's Famous Seafood."
Speaking of meat.
Jimmy's Famous Seafood has decided.
What would you ever do with that much meat?
Now to release a new beer called PETA Tears. The restaurant
for the win
announced the new brew on Twitter with the caption, "Dear PETA, your tears are delicious, and we're sharing them with the world."
Wow.
Oh my God, I love this place.
That's a mic drop.
I want to just come visit and eat all of your seafood and drink all of your beer. By the way, it's a traditional blonde ale. So congratulations, Jimmy's Famous Seafood. In a statement to the Baltimore Sun, PETA President Ingrid Newkirk called the new beer a silly bid for relevancy and suggested that Jimmy's Famous Seafood should add vegan options to their menu or even switch to an entirely vegan menu. At Jimmy's Famous Seafood. F you, Ingrid.
Do you have chicken fingers?
You know. I mean, come on. Come on. It's like they want to be made fun of. It's like they put things out that they're like, just ruin us for this.
Yeah, I think so.
Kill two birds with feed two birds with one scone?
I know. That whole thing. Come on.
I'm happy with, you know, your sausage meat any way you can get it.
See?
Wow, man. All right. So Jimmy's Famous Seafood out there in Baltimore. That's worth a trip, you guys.
I think so, too.
We will be broadcasting next week from Jimmy's Famous Seafood.
We haven't set that up yet.
We have. Okay. All right.
I need meat.
Oh, Kevin, we'll get you some. Any of you watch The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
The movie?
The British pop culture staple, really.
Yeah, I love
the
movie.
Of it more as a book than I do as a movie.
It was a good movie. It started out, I believe, as a radio series and then went into novels and then has become a real funny movie.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is headed to Hulu as a new series.
Interesting.
New series. Arthur Dent, the hapless Englishman. Just going to be taking on all new adventures.
42. Secret of Life.
I don't know if we need it.
There's a lot of TV.
A lot of TV right there.
It's interesting because they recently had Catch 22, another very famous book with a cult following. They turned that into a miniseries on Hulu as well.
Clooney, yeah.
Yeah. He was snubbed for an Emmy.
Clune dog,
you guys. Well, this is great news for Bean because he loves all things 7-Eleven. And I can't believe you haven't reached out to this family to see how you could help.
How do you know he hasn't?
There was an infant born on July 11th, of course, 7-Eleven, at 7:11 p.m., weighing 7 pounds and 11 ounces. You guys.
7-Eleven.
Don't you think that it was maybe 7 pounds and 10 ounces and they just went,
rounded up.
Better story.
Right?
Probably. 11 ounces.
Probably. Well, 7-Eleven has pledged $7,111 towards a college fund for this little girl, which is pretty nice, you guys.
I was down there, and I watch our police and our firemen down in 7-Eleven, down the World Trade Center, right after it came down.
No.
That's not real.
That's real?
It's real. That's
no.
Not, but say that's not real.
It's real.
But don't say it's not.
Can you play it again now that I know what it is?
I was down there, and I watch our police and our firemen down in 7-Eleven, down the World Trade Center, right after it came down.
I mean, there was a 7-Eleven in the World Trade Center?
Never forget 7-Eleven, you guys. That's what I've always said. That's my next tattoo.
But that's real?
Yes, that's a real piece of tape from your president.
Okay. You call that person a sociopath.
Wow.
Oops, that's the wrong button.
Sure is.
I wanted to
start the new show.
It's been a real banner day, you guys. What's been going on since the start of the show?
We've made a mistake or two.
It's catching.
Here's something weird, though, about this birth and everything. the mother said that she kept seeing the number 7 and 11 during her pregnancy. Like, you know how you kind of attach yourself to different numbers and then you see them a lot?
Mm-hmm. She should go to Las Vegas.
She should. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times she's now looking at the clock and it's right at 7-11.
That's so
it's time
weird.
To go to 7-11, isn't it?
It might be, Rodney. Let's all head
how does
out.
He have two drops that say 7-11?
I love 7-11 too.
What if I were to say I have a third?
You can find that anywhere. 7-11s. Just anywhere.
Wow.
He loves that.
A miracle.
That's a gift, you guys.
Thanks, horny little grandpa.
Well, following the Lance Bass produced YouTube documentary, The Boy Band Con, a biopic of Lou Pearlman is now officially in the works. Hmm. It's going to tell the story of the late boy band mogul turned Ponzi schemer who died in prison in 2016. This is the guy that started and managed NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, O-Town, LFO.
Like he created all
yes.
those?
Yes. Yeah. Put them together, put managed them, together, them yeah. everything.
He would, it was
and stole all their money.
Yeah, stole mm-hmm. their money. He was involved in private jets, I think, originally, and then had seen Menudo or somebody on that private jet and was like, I should start my own boy band.
Good
That's
Lord.
Like his origin story.
Wow.
And then the ending is not so good.
What? No. I mean, he must have been rich beyond words anyway. Why would he need to do a Ponzi scheme, and why would he try?
Yeah, well, there's other accusations too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That are not cute.
Not a good dude. Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to think. Good. Can you cast Lou Pearlman? Anyone have any ideas?
He's dead.
No. I mean, who would you cast
for the movie?
For?
Yeah.
We're not digging like, back would up. You bring him out of jail?
I don't think to bring him back up.
I don't think Lou Pearlman should play himself in okay. the Lou Pearlman story.
Okay. I will tell you this, after watching The Loudest Voice on...
Yes, thank you.
Were you going to go with that?
I was exactly going to say, just keep Russell Crowe in the makeup he's using for Roger Ailes, and he could play Lou Pearlman.
It's stunning how good Russell Crowe is as Roger Ailes on The Loudest Voice on Showtime. You guys should watch it.
I wish Philip Seymour Hoffman was still alive.
Aww. That's exactly the other name I was thinking. He would be perfect for that.
Perfect Lou Pearlman.
Kevin, who are you thinking?
DJ Qualls?
That's exactly who I was thinking.
Honestly, I was a little disappointed that Bean didn't say it.
Oh, I am.
He said it like 2-3 times.
Yeah. Spend a DJ Qualls kind of day.
I am seeing online.
7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah. 7-Eleven, mm-hmm. right? I am seeing that Toby Jones has played Lou Pearlman in a TV movie before.
Oh.
And Toby Jones is very good, too. But that's a good range.
All right.
What about Toby Keith?
Toby Jones, Jensen, was the other actor besides Philip Seymour Hoffman that played Truman Capote.
I know, but that's a look. It's
Small
a look.
World.
Yeah. It's a look.
That was fun.
Time to go to 7-Eleven.
Right.
Might be. Yeah. We've got some birthdays for you. Mac Lethal.
Goodbye, Kevin and Bean.
Finn Balor. And Matt LeBlanc. That's what's happening.
Thanks, Heather. You drive home today. Tomorrow morning, Jensen has... Describe your surprise for us.
Well, I can't. It's a surprise.
We're really...
You said it's going to shock us.
I mean, you've been teasing this for 3 days off the air.
It makes me laugh very hard. I think it's a strange thing that's available to us, and I went through with it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to want to talk to people who deliver food.
Oh, no.
We don't want to push this.
And we want to ask them about sampling the food on their way to the house.
No. I don't think we need that.
We don't need it.
We need that, and we're going to have it.
Don't need it.
Plus, we found out today that 28% of people who deliver food through those food ordering apps put their fingers in your food, basically.
No!
Help themselves.
So have a fry or two.
We're going to need to talk to you.
It's Friday, so keep it 100. And also, we've got your tickets for 20.